This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent them with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
All right, speaking of idiots, Paul, Andy, Tom. No, Tom. Fred and Dan in the booth. Where's Gary? Gary's running around.
Efforting to get us the audio of a Randy Moss.
Let me tell you something. It's going crazy here at Gillette Stadium. We have AFC Championship fever here. The excitement. What? Oh. What's going on in there?
Dan, who dropped the ball and not getting the Moss audio, is messing around in there.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today. It's Wednesday. Things are in full force. The media's here. Pizza's here. All the players are in the locker room, a very lively locker room today that we'll talk about, starting with some news about Randy Moss, which is bogus. I'll just come right out and say it. He's being set up.
That's what Moss said.
Like an MF-er.
That's what it sounds like.
That's pretty much what he said.
Yep. So,
do you have any information on this, Fred, or are you just
saying? No, well, I just have some background on the person who wrote the story, and it's all pretty shady.
The person who wrote the story
The person
is
who wrote the story.
What does that have to do with anything?
She's shady.
The one in Florida?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought just the woman who was going after Moss was shady, but now sounds like a setup with a reporter.
That's why I asked the question.
I think she might be involved. The person who wrote the story was a longtime bartender in the Florida entertainment scene.
Do you know her personally?
I've heard she's got a bio on the web. So.
And included in that, it says a longtime bartender at the Florida
entertainment scene, in air quotes.
I think something like after 23 years in the entertainment industry,
as a
bartender, she decided to retire and take up journalism.
Sounds like Tom Casale.
She was a bartender. Anyway, so, you know, I don't know how much we're going to talk about that. Probably.
Well, Gary is trying to get audio. Moss basically called an impromptu press conference in the locker room.
The story is what Moss did in the locker room.
Right.
No one asked
Bill Belichick about it. This is a story that's been developing this morning based on stories on websites that were up, pulled down. Local radio was talking about it, and Moss sort of called the media together. We were in there for portions of it. The best quote I heard him say was, she was an 11-year friend, and she's trying to get six figures over an accident. Apparently that took place at her home. Beyond that, it's basically all bogus. He said he wants to totally defend himself, but he's focused on football right now. As soon as the season's over, he wants to go after this, defend himself. He also then put it on the media a little bit and said, do your research, look into this, and I think you guys will find all the answers. So he is very, very, very emphatic and confident that he is in the right here, she is in the wrong. Basically, they wanted to blackmail him, you know, to use this to make money, or they'd go public. It's now public, so he's fighting back with some public words of his own.
Yeah, and it was in two different waves, too. As Andy said, no one asked Belichick about it at all. The story's been out there. The woman got some restraining order or something against Randy Moss. And, you know, I guess there was some confusion in Florida as to whether or not it was the Randy Moss that plays for the Patriots. So
it is.
It turns out that it is, in fact, the Randy Moss that plays for the Patriots. When I walked in the locker room, Fred, after Belichick, Brady was immediately to follow, and then Benjamin Watson went to the podium. So a lot of people stayed in the media workroom, just trying to kind of set the scene for you. So when I walked in the locker room, actually, I passed paths with Brady, and I stopped to talk to him for a second, and I looked up, and I see you know, 20 people around Randy Moss, and I just looked at him. I go, oh, got to go. And he was on his way to the press conference anyway. So I went over, and that's he said a lot of the stuff that Andy just said. For about 2.5 minutes, he spoke, and basically his message was that this is a woman that I've known. She was injured in an accident, and the next thing I know, her attorneys are calling me looking for money. And he said, I want to stress that in my 30 years, I've never laid a hand on a woman in anger in my life. And, you know, you can look that in whatever, take that for what it's worth. I've never struck a woman in anger in my life. And he was very, as Andy said, very emphatic about that. He said, I want to ask you to, you know, the media, Patriots fans, to not rush to judgment. Wait till you find out the facts. And he asked a plea to the media to please not ask teammates about it because they don't know anything about this. I don't really know all the details of the story yet. They don't know what's going on here. This has nothing to do with the football game they were playing on Sunday. Please don't ask. And it lasted about, like, as I said, 2.5 minutes. The whole locker room period basically transpires in the meantime. And all of a sudden, I guess Karen Garigian from the Boston Herald, once again, that the head of the class when it comes to actually doing anything,
doing her work,
You know, job related, was over talking to Randy Moss by herself for what I was told for about 10 minutes. And then a couple of other people said, you know, we can't really respect the one-on-one here. This is too big of a story. They went in, and all of a sudden there was
the Sharks
massive
cloud around, you know, an unbelievable crowd. It was bigger than the first one, and it definitely lasted much longer than the first one, and I guess he did take some questions in that one.
And it lasted longer than he wanted to. A number of times he said, I don't want to do anything that's going to get me in trouble. I don't want to say anything that would violate client-lawyer privilege. I'll leave it at that, but he didn't. He kept talking, and as I said, apparently it was six figures she was looking for. He's known her 11 years, and I have to say, I'm as cynical as anyone. I bought hook, line, and sinker every word he said. I believe him 150%.
I'm buying it, too. He just seemed to me, I don't know why, if you're guilty, I don't know why you're in that locker room front and center calling people over.
And that's telling the media to do more digging,
yes,
do more research.
That's what he did the first time, is right. He called the media over. He wanted to talk to, and I just don't see how a guilty guy does that.
Because for him, look at it from his perspective. If we buy everything that has been Randy Moss this year, he's having the greatest year of his career. He turned his attitude around, or whatever you want to call it. He matured, and he's getting to where he wants to be. He's with Tom Brady. They're about to play a game to go to a Super Bowl. He is now, nobody, you know, he sort of left the past in the past, and now all of a sudden someone that isn't even part of the past is making something up to tear down what he's worked apparently pretty hard for this year.
Not what he's looking for.
No.
No, and I just think that it doesn't make any sense for him to come out and be so adamant in public like that and really initiate it. And, Fred, he hasn't spoken in the locker room during the week. I can't think of more than once all year.
Nope.
So why would he all of a sudden make himself available?
Because he's hurt. He's
bothered
he
by this, and he
here.
Wants to make sure that people understand that he's in the right. And that's why I believe him, too. I just don't think you would be that adamant if you were wrong. Now, people might call me a hypocrite.
Fat.
I mean, with Roger Clemens, you know, he was certainly pretty adamant about it, but I think he's lying.
Yeah, it's
lying right through his teeth.
It's different when you're adamant when you've set up a press conference with your lawyer and this, or you're just clearly emotional and need to talk, need to vent about a situation that's put you in a negative light in the public eye.
All right, what else?
Bill was back today.
Yeah.
Bill was laughing.
Back today. Smiling, being cordial with people, you know, the weather, you know, Eric brought up the example, was that
someone
yesterday?
Asked about the weather yesterday
and he stopped
them,
bit their head off. Today he ended with, based on the weather reports now, I'd dress warm with a smile. Like,
I'd say our game plan is dress warm.
You know, so everything was back to the regular season of, didn't tell you a damn thing, but did it with a smile and a little bit of personality.
Later on, he was asked, you know,
Chargers, Nick Hartwig, and all those, you're going to get your ass whooped. Olashansky, you're in trouble. You know what's up, and you're about to get your butt whooped again.
Wow, Gary contributing extra slices of pizza.
He was asked about later what the aspect of coaching that he enjoys the most. Some say that they like, you know, that thrill of the victory, the win itself. Some like the preparation in the weekly. What does Bill like? And Bill said, you know, really, I enjoy all aspects of it. And then he said, especially Wednesday at noon.
A press conference.
You know, so he was back. It was that was the guy that we've seen all year long.
Well, that's great.
That did seem like a setup. The guy followed up with, were you prepped for that one?
Yeah.
And Bill didn't answer. He just went on to the answer. But that did feel like the Janet Jackson, I'm kept abreast of those things. It felt like he was waiting for someone to say, what's your favorite part of coaching or something? He was ready. He's on, Fred.
So,
blowout.
So that means
blowout. It's only one.
Disregard
thing.
What I said about this being a 10-point game last night on New England Cable News. Blowouts are back.
Okay. Anything coming out of San Diego that we need to know about?
Well, you know about the Igor Olshansky.
You know Olshansky.
Other than that, everything has been.
Well,
you would expect.
Sean Merriman accidentally didn't know exact way to say Jabbar Gaffney's name, and that's a slight against.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that. To be honest with you, I don't see that as any more of a slight than Bill not remembering Sammy Knight last week.
Right.
It just happened. I mean, these things happen.
And they were in a dog.
And he was also, Merriman was also very complimentary of Gaffney, saying how, you know, we didn't know a lot about him, but he's played very well for them, you know. But the Olshansky thing, that's you know.
That's out there.
That's out there.
Oh, yeah.
That's legit.
No one's happy
that's
about it, those, including the Chargers.
No, I guess Norv Turner really took him to task over it.
Although, interestingly, LaDainian Tomlinson said no one has talked to Philip Rivers about his actions. Turner said he doesn't need to be jawing with a guy behind the bench who had probably 12 beers. But LaDainian said, I've never talked to him. I don't think he's a grown man. And yeah, I don't think you can go stop talking to people. And so they're taking a little approach here. But that's obviously a topic out there as well, the way Philip Rivers sort of carried himself, not just against the Colts. They were showing clips. He was jawing with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, I remember that. They were all waving goodbye to Jay Cutler and everything.
It's an issue. You know, LT didn't really address it. Norv Turner said he doesn't need to be doing that.
Yeah.
Norv Turner, interesting. Interesting story there with how much he's been crapped on, what he's had them doing the last few weeks, and whether it's because of him, in spite of him, I don't really know, but he is where he is right now. He's in the AFC title.
I mean, you kind of look at the places he's been, and yeah, he doesn't have a good record as a head coach, but you know, working for Dan Snyder, not easy, especially in those years when Dan was just taking over the team and, you know, wanted to be involved, and it's tough for a head coach. Working for Al Davis, not easy, you know.
And you know what I don't think helps Norv Turner is the way he looks, the facial expressions and sort of the image he portrays on the sideline isn't necessarily the best for I'm a prepared, confident, everybody look at me, I'm the leader of this squad. I don't think he looks like he's that guy on the sideline. I think sometimes that plays into public perception of him.
If you look like that, you have to coach like Belichick.
Right. If Bill Belichick stunk, the way he handles himself would be looked at totally differently than it is because of the way he wins.
Right. What's some other problems in the locker room? Players
chasing I wasn't
reporters?
Really going to address that one.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know the full details of that one.
Okay.
If Paul wants to talk about it. If Paul wants to talk about it, he can. He's Paul Perillo at Patriots Football Weekly.
Gary has audio of the
right.
Moss, you know, impromptu press conference. Let's hear it.
You know, before people rush quick to judgment, I think you need to find out the facts about really what's going on. This young lady by no means is hurt. I didn't hurt her, you know, because I think that what I heard was I really don't know the whole story of what's being said. All I know is supposedly I battery or whatever it may be that I physically hurt a woman. Well, I want to make something clear. In my whole entire life of living, 30 years, I've never put my hand on one woman physically or in a angry manner. So this battery that they're talking about, I guess from a legal standpoint, there has to be something said. So like I said, I don't really know all the facts. I really don't know what's going on, you know, as far as everything that's been alleged. All I know is that, you know, it was a friend of mine, a young lady, and it was an accident where she hurt herself. And to where they called me, called my attorneys, trying to get X amount of dollars out of me. And if we don't give X amount of dollars, they're going to go to the press before the game, before this game, anything like it. So basically what I'm saying, I'm actually going to hold off for questions. I just really wanted to get out there to the people that, you know, I am aware of what's going on. And I don't really want people to rush quick to judgment and not knowing the facts. So my teammates don't have anything to do with this. They don't know anything. I think it was just brought to their attention. So if y'all could please just leave them out of it, because they don't know anything of what's going on. I don't really know the whole situation of what's going on, just bits and pieces. So, you know, and it definitely was not my intentions of doing anything like this. And like I said, with this battery with the woman, you know, that's really not my makeup. That's not me. I've never been in that situation where I'd have to put my hands on any woman, any lady. So, like I say, man, before you rush quick to judgment, man, find out all the facts before you start, you know, criticizing me or judging me. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
There's a lot of things I want to see and tell everyone sitting here flashing with all these microphones. And I'm not trying to be funny about the situation, because this is a serious matter. What I'm saying is that it's unfair to us as athletes that when a situation like this occurs, you know, it's up to you. It's up to you guys. It's up to you to making an assumption. Oh, is this guy or this girl telling the truth, or are they lying?
Randy, how much are you looking forward to clearing your name once the season is over, to defending yourself?
That's one thing that I want to do, because, you know, throughout this whole season, everything's been positive. Right. So why would I bring something negative on? Come on. What we're trying to do and hopefully what's going to happen if we do things right, mm-hmm, in the next month, I would never, as much as I care and love the game of football and love my teammates, and I would never put myself or them in a situation of something like
this.
Does
it make you think you want to change who you hang around in the future with this?
No, because I've known this young lady 11 years. So if this is supposed to be a friend of mine, right, change what? Right. I've known you for 11 years. I mean, I know all you men and ladies around here, you've known somebody for over 11, 15 years, and you wouldn't think in your wildest dream that something like this would happen to you.
She's trying to get money out of you?
Over an accident, six figures.
Wow. Six figures?
I'm going to end it at that. I do not want to get in trouble.
How difficult is it for you to sway public opinion, just in general, when things come up?
Well, it's hard because of everything that I've been through, mostly the negatives off the field. And it's really hard for me to sit up here and you know, say that I'm innocent. You know, I didn't hit no woman. I've never laid my hands on a woman. So for you to say battery, now I think if there was a such thing in the court system as an accident, then that's what I'm guilty for. But for you to say I physically, in an angry manner or whatever the manner may be, put my hands on a woman physically, I've never done that.
Are people going to believe you?
I think the best thing is to check my resume. Ask around. No, I do not. I've never hit a woman. I do not hit women. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I got a job to do, and that's to provide for my family and help raise my children. That's what I do. I'm very disappointed in the timing. I'm disappointed at the timing, first, of myself for being able to be in this situation. But knowing someone 11 years, it's hard to avoid that, because I wouldn't expect someone like that to do me like that.
She said she wanted medical attention, right? But she wanted medical attention, and you denied her medical attention.
She lives in her own house, and she has her own vehicle, so how can I deny her medical attention? I mean, does that make sense? I mean, she has her own house, she has her own car, so how am I going to deny someone medical attention when you live by yourself and have your own vehicle?
Randy, what made you go to Bill, and were you happy with the way he responded to it?
No, I can't never be happy, because this is a negative... something negative over a black cloud hanging over my head. And that's something that I did not want, you know, coming into the season, is anything negative. Everything I tried to do, from getting here early and make sure I eat the right food, all the way to practicing and playing good, I wanted all that to be a A plus.
Is that why you took the initiative to go to him? Because you said you want your coach with it.
No, I just thought just for, look at all of this. I mean, you look at the only reason why I went to coach, man, because I knew the magnitude of something like this, how it was going to take off. And like I said, if I'm guilty, I am truly sorry. I'm going to stand up for what's right. I really am.
What would you say to this lady face-to-face if you see her today?
Man, I don't want to get into that, man. I've known this woman 11 years. You know what I mean? I don't wish anything bad on this woman. I mean, that's the love I have for her as a friend. You know, even though these allegations are false or whatever she's claiming, I mean, I really can't be mad at that, because, I mean, if that's what she's doing, that's what she's doing. I mean, if she's hurting and she needs money, that's on her.
Safe to say the friendship is over?
I mean, it has to be. I mean, the friendship is over, but like I say, man, I'm not mad. I'm not bitter. I am mad at the situation of extortion. Yes, I'm mad about that. But for something friendly, an accident to occur, I mean, it happens. I mean, stuff does happen.
What was the Randy, accident?
When did this happen? I'm not going to get into that. That's for y'all. I'm not going to get into that. Y'all, I'm not. Listen, this is my last thing, and I'm going to say, man. But one thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to end it. I mean, y'all going to make y'all's judgment. Y'all going to say what y'all want to. Today, tomorrow, next week, y'all going to say whatever y'all want. But make sure, I'm very sure, before you rush the judgment, that you know what you're talking about before you say it. That's all I'm going to say, man.
All right, well, that's Randy Moss, the second part of his impromptu. You know, I appreciate what he's trying to do, and I know he wants to come forward and clear his name, and he's very upset. But as playing his attorney here, enough.
Yeah.
Oh, no question.
I agree.
Enough.
I do believe him, though.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Andy and I both. And
I might
funny.
Have egg on my face, but I'm buying it.
Yeah. I was involved in the first go-around there, and then Andy was involved in the second one. So it wasn't like we were standing next to each other and said, oh, yeah, I could see that. You know, we both heard different versions and came away and then talked and then both said at the same time, you know, I bought it. I might be wrong, and I might be guilty of being a hypocrite because I'm believing a patriot and I cover the Patriots, but – But so be it.
I mean, I believe him in spite of the fact that he has a history. I mean, he goes, look at my red. Well, you kind of have some black marks.
He's never done anything like this.
No, I know. But I'm just saying he has some questions in his past.
Right.
So it's not like he's the perfect soldier.
The joke, in the locker room was, and it was people were tongue-in-cheeking it, but – He said I never hit a woman, and then right. He said, "Well, not with his hands. He hit one with his car."
Right.
But I mean, obviously, that's not. It wasn't the same thing.
My point is, Fred, you would think if you were going into a Randy Moss situation, that the easy way is to make a say, "Oh, he's guilty." Make a joke. I mean, he's not Troy Brown. He's not a squeaky clean Mr. Patriot. He has an immaturity throughout his history. But my first reaction hearing him is, she's a scumbag trying to get money out of this guy. She's looking for money. That's the bottom. Now, the only question I have is the exact incident. The way he says, out of an accident, I don't know what to picture in my head.
Right.
You know, you're searching, and the only thing I just came up with, I said, maybe they were playing basketball, and he dunked on her and hit her with, like, I just can't picture.
Can you imagine what could the accident have been?
I don't know. But, you know.
But Fred's sick over there, shaking his head.
No,
just,
but
just,
I understand. Oh. I agree with Fred. And now he could
get in trouble. I mean, yeah. He used words like extortion and.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're kind of getting into a...
He might have gotten himself in more trouble than he was in.
Right.
That's why, you know, it always sounds like guy's guilty when he doesn't talk, but you don't know how your words are
going to be. But I think he could have done... I think what he did in the first 2.5 minutes
yeah.
was fine.
And then
he called
there.
Everybody over and right. said, look, don't rush the judgment. You know, wait till the facts are out. Basically, there was a woman that I know that was involved in an accident, and now she's calling looking for money. That's it.
Right.
That's all you have to say. And then, you know, he went on with the whole thing. You know, my teammates aren't involved in this. They don't know what's going on. Please leave them out of it. 2.5 minutes, put a nice bow on it. I thought he handled himself well. You could hear the frustration in the second
That's
one.
What I think. It's emotion. Like I said, he spent this whole year building the perfect season, we've raved about him being the perfect Patriot, locker room, on, off the field. And now all of a sudden it's coming crashing down at when it's supposed to be peaking towards perfection for him, for the team, Super Bowls, everything. She's out there trying to tear it. I mean, he said they targeted saying, you don't pay us.
Right.
We're going public before this game.
Right.
So I guess from their perspective, they probably should have waited
a
week.
To me, one of the stories behind the story here, it reminds me of how, you know, we look at these guys as athletes, but a lot of these guys lead very complicated lives.
Yes.
There's a lot going on.
Yes. I mean, we talked about it with Sean Taylor. They come from backgrounds that connect them to certain people and things, and all of a sudden there's a lot of money involved, and
a lot of it's good stuff, too. You know, it's not just bad stuff.
Oh, right.
But they all have very complicated lives. You know, very few of them have lived the simple life.
Oh, no question. I mean, they're getting it, if you think about it, on all ends, because they have – you know, some of the, you know, Sean Taylor, I'll go back to that example, comes from maybe a tough neighborhood, has some street friends that are involved with a lot of, but then he's also Sean Taylor who signs a $36 million contract, so he has Fred Kirsch's of the world coming to him with business propositions and interest.
Right.
Everybody's looking for a piece on some level, some of it legal, some of it illegal, some of it truly looking out for the player to, you know, give them interest, some of it to take advantage. You know, there's a lot going on.
You look at a guy like Roosevelt Colvin, he's, you know, involved in opening up UPS stores, and you think to yourself, how does he have time to do all that?
Well, he does it in the locker room.
I know, but
for him, he does it when he's supposed to be practicing.
I know. It's like, how do they find time to do all this other stuff?
Right.
You know? It's so.
But it was an eventful locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Matt from Quincy, immediate reaction. It's a relief to hear Moss's attitude in the locker room today in the wake of what should be considered a very disturbing story, putting Moss in a bad light, not to mention the disruption this could cause in the midst of a playoff run. What do we always say when an athlete gets in trouble? We say if they're innocent, they should scream it from the rooftops. Instead, we usually get no comment, talk to my lawyer, has advised me, etc. Obviously, none of us know the truth yet, but it is reassuring to hear him plead his innocence just like any of us would if we were wrongly accused.
I was going to say, it's interesting to sort of juxtapose this with Bill Belichick's handling of a major issue that sort of came out and scandal. And we said at the time, we argued about this, if he had just come out, if he had had this little Moss-type press conference, we might have thought differently about the whole Spygate thing and the way, but it sort of came out. He sort of stood by the, you know, that's a league issue,
well,
and
but
I've said all I'm going to say.
Rodney Harrison did with the HGH.
Right.
That could have been a much bigger story
there. And who got criticized more, Rodney Harrison, Randy Moss, or Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You almost elongate the story.
Yes.
I agree with, the way Matt the way Matt put it. I think that's how Andy and I took it. You know, it could be a potentially very serious thing. You know, hitting, you know, violence against women is not to be taken lightly. We all know that. So I think that he's smart. He wants to separate himself from that as quickly and as effectively as he can. This is what he chose. Now, I agree with you, Fred. I think he maybe, you know, the second go around, he talked probably too much.
But that's
part
of it. That's part of it. That's being natural. That's, as Matt says, just screaming from a mountaintop. But I didn't have a mountain. I had a teleprompter. Just yelling you feel. I think when you start getting analytical and say, well, my lawyer said that, then people say, well, what is he covering up? Why is he going to be so analytical? If he's innocent, he wouldn't be worrying about the lawyer and the this and the that.
And that's, I think, the way
that's
he came
the trouble with our society is you can be innocent, but you do the wrong thing and you end up screwed in the end.
There's a lot of innocent people in jail.
All of them,
just
aren't
ask
they?
Them.
just ask them.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The phone number is 508-543-7482.
Beyond that, Fred, just, you know, the regular San Diego stuff and, you know, how great San Diego is now.
A lot of press conferences going up on Patriots.com. You can check them out.
We had Tom Brady and Benjamin Watson at the podium today, obviously after Bill. And then the locker room, Teddy Bruschi spoke for a long time. Mike Vrabel had a crowd around him. Kevin Falk had a crowd around him. Sammy Morris in the locker room today. Haven't seen him in a while. Talked to him a little bit. You know, he's obviously frustrated, you know, having to sit out.
Yeah, that's a shame, huh? To miss this season?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's hard. I also want to call attention to the survey that we have going on the Patriots.com having to do with PFW in progress. You can get the link a couple different places. Chris, if you are listening, email me where those links are. But it's just a short survey about what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. And at the end of the survey time, you know, in a couple weeks, we'll pick three. I got a couple Troy Brown signed posters, and I got a Mike Vrabel signed poster that we'll raffle off and give to three people who answered the survey. So far, I think we got about 70 or 80 people that have answered. But I'd like everybody who listens to the show, just take a few minutes, just fill out this. It's like 5 or 6 questions.
I hear Andy Hart's getting a lot of votes for favorite part of the show.
Is that right?
Or at least one.
Okay. Well, anyway.
And it may have come from Andy Hart at Patriots.com.
But we just want to, we're trying to figure things out here and planning for next year and what can we do. And
did you seriously answer the survey?
Oh, yeah, and I voted for myself.
Oh, come on.
And Paul Perillo may have gotten a vote for a worst part of the show.
No, I'm sure that's not the only one.
Anyway, so just take a few moments while you're listening now and just answer the survey and just hit the submit button, and we would appreciate it.
Just getting back to the press conferences for a minute. The Tom Brady one, and I don't really want to steal the thunder of my story here, but I think fans, we've debated Lawrence Maroney a lot on the show, spent a lot of time arguing about his development, his talents, his mentality. I urge you to go to either the video Tom Brady press conference or to the transcript when that's made available later today on Patriots.com, and listen or read the quote from Tom Brady about Lawrence Maroney. I found it very interesting. He basically said everything we've sort of talked about. He said he's grown up some. His leadership has improved. He's gotten better awareness. He's running better. He's taking advantage of the lanes in the defense thanks to the guys on the outside now. Brady sort of encompassed every argument we've ever had about Lawrence Maroney in this one answer about his confidence. He's seen all that, and he said he's hitting his rhythm at the right time for us.
Hey, look, we're not blind. I mean, I think we all said we want the guy to do well, but it is what it is.
Plus, we all thought that he had the ability to do well. I mean, I saw the first four games last year.
And we saw him do really well, and we saw him not do really well. So we've seen both.
And as I said, it was Brady who brought up confidence. And Brady today
stuck
by it and said he has used that one game he had a good game, and Brady said hopefully he uses this to build his confidence. Brady said he has. So Brady is enjoying watching the transformation, but there's an admission there that there's been some sort of growth / transformation.
Sure. I don't think it took a genius to figure that out on our part. I mean,
I'm just saying,
I think it was pretty.
I like it when we can find,
we're not
Tom Brady or Bill Belichick sort of saying
like,
it. It's different than us just saying
it. The four of us, Tom's not here now, but certainly Saturday night, the four of us after that game, we all had the same impression of the game. We all thought, the offense bailed out the defense. The defense was mediocre at best. Well, that's one thing for us four nitwits to say that without really having any real football in our backgrounds. But when you listen this morning on the except for Andy, playing special teams at Tufts.
I played linebacker early in my career.
But listening on this morning, Ron Jaworski was on with Dennis and Callahan on the local sports station, and he's talking about, and they asked him about the defense, and he said, I call it a middle-of-the-pack defense.
Jaws.
And when he watched the video, watched the tape of Saturday night's game, he used the word that really gets under Andy's skin. He said he was disappointed.
He's disappointed in the defense. Who the
But basically
are you?
He said that he thinks this is going to be a long week for the defensive players in New England because Belichick is not going to put up with the lack of discipline.
Mental errors.
He was astounded by how many mental errors that aren't really characteristic of a Bill Belichick defense.
Right.
So that, to me, kind of validates having a guy who you respect and know he watches a lot of film and he knows what he's watching. He validates basically what the four of us saw on the field Saturday.
And to be fair, on both sides of this coin, I do have to say that Bill Belichick on Lawrence Maroney said yesterday he's been one of our most consistent players all year. So if I'm going to cite my sources and get them both out there, they sort of contradict each other a little bit with Brady saying one thing and Belichick saying the other.
Yeah.
But Belichick said he's been consistent all year. No offense, Bill, and I'm not calling you a liar, but I don't necessarily – I know sometimes you put the best interest of the team in your quotes, and I think Brady might be a little bit more honest at times and a little more truthful.
Chris has written back. He says, I put the survey links on the detail pages of all the PFW in Progress podcasts for the past week and all current ones going forward. The link is also on the web radio schedule page on Patriots.com. So if anyone wants to fill out that survey, you can find it on the web radio schedule page on Patriots.com.
I never fill out those surveys that pop up when I go to websites.
Oh, it doesn't pop up. It's just a link to it.
Oh. I never fill out those surveys anywhere.
Well, Stripper, talking about the website, he says that the best web designer in the world's opinion of Patriots.com homepage. His buddy Mike says,
strippers?
Well, considering they have to provide links to tons of information about so many different things, I'd say yes, it's good as far as the menu structure. The mess of stuff under the main navigation starts to fall apart, though, and gets sloppy.
Add in the fact that we're not allowed to put naked women on the web page, and that really holds us back in terms of
traffic. That would help. Well, speaking of women.
Naked.
I'm assuming she's clothed. It's Callie, girl. Callie, how you doing?
Hey, yes, I'm clothed.
I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, my gosh.
I love the music, Callie.
So what's up, Callie girl?
Oh, well, my birthday's in 2 days.
Oh.
And guess where I'm going to be this special weekend?
In New England.
No, well, I wish I could be in New England, but second best, San Diego. Yes.
Oh, so you're going to be giving it to the... don't take that one the wrong way. Giving it to the Chargers fans.
Yes, I'm very excited.
So you don't have any fear that you could be the lone Patriot fan in Chargerland after the Chargers pull an upset?
Well, I don't think there'll be an upset, but I think they'll be upset.
That's true.
And
I
I'm
agree
afraid they might take it out on me.
Easy.
There's actually some Patriots bars in San Diego that you can go to.
I'll have to look that up. Well, I can't go to a bar. I'm only going to be 20.
No. Oh, really?
I thought you were turning 21.
No, not yet. Jesus. One more year.
You don't have a fake ID?
You're 20. Maybe you can go to the zoo.
They do have panda bears there. I highly recommend the panda bear exhibit at the zoo.
Actually, I'm going to the wild animal park.
Oh, yeah, but you got to see pandas. They're so rare. There's only two zoos in the country that
and
have
them.
You can
get one of those brown hoodie sweatshirts with the
they have cheap gorilla sweatshirts. They're all tight on Fred, but it'll fit you.
Get one about three sizes too small.
Hey, you know what? I don't know what happened to that sweatshirt.
You gave it to Connor because it was skin tight on you, you fat bastard.
It disintegrated because it was too small.
The eyes, like your nipples were poking through the eyes on the sweatshirt.
I just haven't seen it in a while. You must not be wearing it.
And you could also go, down to Tijuana and get a fake ID down there, couldn't you?
No, you need a passport to go down there now.
So you need a fake passport to get a fake ID. Sort of defeats the purpose.
Well, sounds like you've checked all this stuff out.
It does.
You can get a passport without being 21, though, right?
Oh, yeah, get a passport.
It just costs like $120 and it takes 8 weeks to come.
Oh, that's not
because
you
have to have a passport to go everywhere now.
That's true.
So,
well, you could sneak back across the
border.
Sounds
like the girl I picked up in New Orleans.
Whoa!
Yeah, let me get stuck in.
I love that voice.
Stuck in Mexico.
Yeah, you don't want to be getting stuck in Mexico.
No.
So you're probably safer just going to that wild animal park.
Yeah, we're gonna go on a safari.
A safari in San Diego?
Yeah, they have like it's like Africa. Like
it's like Africa
animals.
Hot. It's like Africa hot.
When did this become a 1-900 line?
I don't know, but she still
Tom's not even here.
She still hasn't sent her video of her and her sister.
Yes, I did. I sent it.
Oh, we have a video?
We do.
Well, it's just me, but...
Aw, where's your sister?
Sorry, she's in school.
Oh. Middle school?
Maybe we can set her up with the 14-year-old that's going
to kick
might
Aaron's be
interested. Ass.
Gary likes young girls.
Now he looks at me like, you too.
Gary said he got it, but I thought you guys would have watched it.
He didn't show it to us yet, but... As soon as you get off the phone, I'll be going to look
at it. We'll be taking
a break. Oh, yeah. I sent an email to you.
Thanks. I'm going to enjoy it.
All right.
All right, Callie. We'll enjoy San Diego. And I'm telling you, check out the panda bears. If you're in San Diego, it's a must-see.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're in San Diego, you've got to go to the San Diego
zoo. Got to go to the zoo. We've all been to the zoo.
I don't care about the zoo. Just the pandas.
All right. That's Callie girl calling in from California, going to San Diego this weekend.
She goes, guess where I'm going to be? And I'm thinking the obvious answer
the
there
Patriots
is New England.
Game.
Right, the Patriots game. Now San Diego.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Looks like Andy wants to take a break. Where are you going?
To watch that video.
He's going to go watch a video of Cali Girl.
All right. Are you going to take a break so we can watch the video?
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Good morning, guys. It's Cali Girl, a.k.a. Chelsea, which is my real name. And I'm finally sending you my video. I wanted to say I love TSW, and I'm madly in love with Tom Casale. Have a good day, guys.
All right, Cali Girl's here, and the object of her affection has just walked in, Tom Casale.
Unfortunately, he couldn't hear that.
No.
He needs a battery.
Tom, how you doing?
I'm all right.
You're all right?
We're on the radio. You can't just nod.
You okay?
Guy's away for 2 days. He forgets how to do radio.
I know.
Fred, you're going to call the priest?
It was a tough loss. I know that, but I didn't know you were going to take it that hard.
Full loss.
You put it out of your mind?
What, the Colts?
No. The Cowboys.
Oh, I don't care about them.
You don't care about them?
I was more upset that the Colts lost. I've been waiting all year for the rematch. And
true.
They lose, and now we get the Chargers.
And yeah. I saw Dan Shaughnessy wrote that this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
All you wimps can, you know, that are rooting for the Chargers, I wanted to see the Colts. I agree.
Well,
I also like what Jaworski said. When you watch the tape of that game and you didn't know what the score was, you would have thought that Indianapolis was up by 21 the whole game.
Yeah.
That's how dominant, you know, which, again, that's what I saw. Somehow, not a lot of people agreed with me on it, but.
Just Jeff McMunton. Jeff from Moncton, Canada, quickly says, what's up with the survey only being for U.S. residents? What about us Canadians? Should be for everyone. I mean, part of it is we want people from around the world answering it.
My guess is Chris screwed up.
Especially with our listeners. We're huge
worldwide.
We have a lot of overseas
Fill
listeners.
It out anyway.
Thanks,
Jeff,
Chris. We have tons. Drop that ball again.
We have tons in Canada.
We're big north of the border.
We have
Phuket.
We have David in Thailand.
We could just go around the pins.
I mean,
all over Europe.
Dave in the Philippines.
So I've been back for 4 minutes, and we're already talking about Chris's incompetence.
Yes. Oh, did you know about the Moss stuff?
I don't know about anything.
You missed the
I don't
Tom
know about
Casale
anything.
Luck, the locker room of the
locker
year,
room of the year.
With Randy Moss calling the media over on multiple occasions to defend himself against battery allegations.
This might have been the best locker room since the day after they let Willie Clay go.
There's a woman in Florida who is apparently, according to Moss, a friend of 11 years. Who has filed a temporary restraining order. And that sort of came out this morning, like little bits and pieces. It was on a website. It was off a website. EEI was talking about it. No one asked Bill about it. And then Moss basically called the media over to defend himself and did that for like 2.5 minutes, then broke up but didn't, called him back again. Apparently this woman, it was an accident, he says, and he's known her 11 years, and she wants, quote, six figures over an accident. And apparently they came to him, his lawyers said, if you don't give us the money we want, we're going public with this before this week's game.
Well,
and they have.
It's a special kind of battery. And it's, you know, from what I can gather, it's not that he hit her. It's that he denied her medical attention.
To which he says, she lives in her own house. Right. She has her own car. How did I deny her medical attention?
Right. So he's
it's a little shady, but I buy hook, line, and sinker him.
I'm lost.
He's very believable. Yeah. He's so adamant
he's
and emotional.
Is that what happened when I was walking down and I heard some reporter on his telephone saying, no, he actually talked today. He was he's a very nice guy. I love when reporters.
Yeah.
I love when reporters do that. Like,
right.
How do you know he's a nice
right.
guy? It's just like saying that Corey Dillon isn't a nice guy because he doesn't want to talk to you.
Right. Yeah. But he was very, very emotional, and he clearly. I said my take is it. He's worked very hard this year to make sure he had a perfect year, and I think this woman is now sort of throwing a wrench and jeopardizing that. The only thing I said is I can't mentally picture an accident. Like, I said to these guys, what, did he dunk on her in a pickup basketball game and elbowed her on the way down? Like, I find it
–
there's a couple little pieces. Well, Fred even says that the person who wrote the story in Florida is shady.
She's shady.
Is apparently a former
bartender.
Entertainer. In
well,
the
she, 23 years her, in the entertainment
her own
business.
Bio says she's in the entertainment business. She was a bartender. Okay, so that's – you know.
And now she's a reporter. She's kind of like you. She has a shady history, and all of a sudden she's writing stories about sports.
And also, TG and NJ wants to know if Jerry Jones needs to take out a restraining order on you.
Is he dead yet?
Jones or TG?
I won't root for that team again until either he's dead or someone.
Did you see him down on the sideline?
No, and here's the other thing. And I, you know, I apologize to his family, but the wrong NFC East safety got shot and killed. I wish it was the one who wore 31.
Wow.
Because he is so – and I can't even go on because I'll start swearing.
I was going to say, 12 minutes ago, he didn't care
no,
about that.
12 pages on a Cowboys message board about him, nobody defended him. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. He's like, what's the word now you use for retard? What's that word?
You actually
Scalavino.
You don't need another word because you just used it.
Mentally, he's like a mentally challenged kid in gym class where – all of a sudden, you start feeling sorry for the guy. I mean, did you see him out there? Did you see him, like, running around like a chicken? He was nowheres in any play whatsoever. He's an embarrassment.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people don't like Greg Easterbrook. I like reading his column. It's long and lengthy. But
that's because you're a pseudo-intellect.
One
like
of the
he
things
is.
He
long
said, he goes, how is it helpful when the owner comes down, you know, in the last drive and starts yelling at coaches, yelling at the refs?
But this
that doesn't
fair,
help.
Doesn't he do that every
inches?
Game?
Yeah.
But
you,
not
so
but,
he won 13 games. Do I mean?
But don't get – no, he doesn't get involved in the game. He watches the game.
I see him on the sideline a lot.
Every game.
Yeah, but he wasn't not yelling at refs and coaches.
Well, it's because they're winning.
Well, maybe.
I don't know what he's doing.
Now it's now 11 years and counting. No playoff wins.
Yep. This one.
Now they're losing all their assistants. What's Wade Phillips going to do
well,
now?
Who'd they lose?
Well, Sperano went to Miami, and Garrett
oh,
apparently
did?
Is going to go to Baltimore.
Oh, those are two terrible hires.
And apparently Garrett is going to take others with him.
Good.
So
is he taking Wade Phillips?
No. Well, that's the bad news.
That's the problem. You're stuck with everybody.
I can't.
Tom, can you imagine the head coach of an NFL franchise after losing a playoff game comes out the next day and all he wants to talk about was how the better team lost?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
and
me?
And even the press conference
so
after
ridiculous.
With the excuses, well, we had bad field position all day. Don't you have the number two offense? And like, what are you nuts? That's what
I mean,
you're saying?
I don't get me wrong. The better team lost. I mean, that was
but isn't
kind
that an
similar
indictment of the coach if you
yes.
say the better
sometimes
team lost?
Yes.
The team doesn't win
that's what I'm
if
saying.
If there's more talent, then talent
the
wasn't the issue.
Kind of similar to the Colts game. Well, I don't think Dallas outplayed the Giants as much as the Colts outplayed San Diego, but it was kind of similar. If the score wasn't up there, Dallas had the ball for that 10-minute drive in the second quarter. That should have been a dagger.
Yeah.
40 seconds, they let the Giants go down the field and tie it.
Terrible. Well,
I mean,
you know,
it's horrible.
That's what happens when you still have Jacques Reeves on your team, seventh-round draft pick from 4 years ago. I just don't get what they do there. But let me tell you this. Next year, the win things will come out, the win totals, and Dallas will be like 10.5. You want to retire? Because this team's doing nothing but going down the tubes now, especially
if
they
Wade
lose
Phillips
guys
stays.
Like Garrett and people who actually had a part in their success. And, you know, they can – I don't know if – I haven't listened to anything or read anything or watched ESPN really. But if people are blaming Romo, they should be ashamed of themselves because
– drop passes everywhere.
Yeah, did Patrick Creighton hold another press conference?
Unbelievable.
To tell everybody how –
Fred called that the single biggest play of the game.
Well, that's a touchdown.
That's
yeah.
the
easy touchdown.
It was the single biggest play of the game. And that would have, you know – look, they lost it in so many different ways, but how, you know, for three quarters of that game, and I know this isn't Cowboys Weekly, Fred, but for three quarters of that game, the offensive line dominated.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, they couldn't keep the Giants off of Romo.
And
now, to slam Romo, he made two ridiculously bad decisions to take those sacks. You
oh,
can't do
God,
that.
Yeah.
You just can't do that.
I don't know what he's doing there. I mean, the whole team, but it's the way they were playing at the end of the year, though.
But yet,
it never got any better. That's how they were playing.
Ever since the, you know, Tom Curran has a stat that he keeps spouting out there, and I don't know what the exact numbers are, but from the time that they were up 27-10 against Green Bay, they've been outscored something like 150-something to 80-something.
It's never
the rest of the way.
They've never
overcome that.
And yeah, I don't think they would have beaten the Packers anyways this week.
But they should have beaten the Giants.
Yeah.
And that was a really, really bad
and
loss.
The Colts, I mean. The Colts. They get up 24-21 with Volek in there. That was one of the more amazing drives I've ever seen in a playoff game. You have your starting running back out. You have your backup quarterback in there.
And they're on the sidelines smiling. It's right. Not even like they were carted off. Right. They're standing on the sidelines smiling.
That, you know, that place was going crazy because right. We've been there. The Colts right. Just scored. You're thinking, now all you're thinking is are the Colts going to cover? That's basically what you're thinking at that point. And they go right down the field on them.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Dan in Delaware is on the phone right now. Dan, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, is Tom there today?
He's here.
Yeah.
Hey, you feeling better, bud?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I'm a diabetic, too. I know sometimes you get a little sicker than most.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, just one thing before I talk about Maroney, the Cowboys, their head coach there. Did you see that interview he did the week before about that game?
The week before?
Yeah, before the game, a couple days before the game, they were doing an interview with him, and I just happened to catch it on the NFL channel, and they were asking him if he was going to win, basically, if the best team was going to win, and he wasn't confident at all. He just said, well, because they were talking about how he's never really won a playoff game.
And the Not really. He's never won a playoff game. He's 0-4.
Yeah, and the response he gave was, well, you know what? You know, our whole season doesn't depend on this one game. You know, they've had a great season. He just was like doing the concession speech before the game, and I knew they were going to lose.
Yeah, they were saying that after the game, too. It's sickening. If the Patriots don't win this week, their season is a failure.
Well, Bill said it today.
That was another
we've
one.
Spent the whole year trying to get back to where we were last
everything
year.
Everything we've done this year is, and all we've done so far is got back to where we were last
Hopefully
year.
Hopefully we'll do
Hopefully
better
we'll
than
fare
we did
better.
Then or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We made all these changes to prepare for the Colts in the playoffs, and now we're not going to face the Colts in the playoffs. You know?
That's all right. These changes will work against the Chargers, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I just want to talk about Maroney, and I was thinking of, like, I needed to apologize, but I don't think I really need to apologize because his play was horrible. I mean,
exactly. Stand with Tom Brady.
I think the line is outstanding, pass blocking or run blocking. But I will say this: I think that you guys are right. It was a mental issue.
Yep.
And I think he's overcome it.
Andy's been banging that drum for a long time.
And Tom Brady agreed with me today. Read the press conference later, and you'll see what Tom said, and you'll see that
there was an admission. You know what I want to say? Dan brought up the offensive line. I think that one thing that – minor thing, but I think we may have overlooked it. You know, Stephen Neal, I think, does make a huge difference in the run game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think Hochstein is an excellent backup. But Stephen Neal, you know, I don't know if you guys read the report card that Felger did. And I'm not saying that he, you know, Mike Felger is like this professor of football or anything, but he broke down several different plays that – were big running plays that Neal was spearheading. You know, it was at least five different plays that he talked about him, pulling and coming around and leading him on this one, direct drive block on another one, sealing an edge on this one. I think Stephen Neal is one of those guys that does make a difference.
He's pretty close to Mankins in terms of being
a
stout
runner.
I don't know what that means.
He's so athletic, you know, for an offensive lineman.
Try to continue a serious conversation. Yeah, there's a reason Russ Hochstein is Russ Hochstein, jack of all trades, backup. You know, he's a nice story, but Stephen Neal and Logan Mankins, they're more talented.
Sure. Hi there.
Hey.
Well, I tell you, I'm happy to see Maroney's change. His speeches, after game press conferences are a lot better, too. He's not talking about himself as much. He's giving credit to the line and to the, you know, I saw the last game he gave credit to even the wide receivers who were blocking for him. So it was good to see.
Yeah. He's
played well.
As Brady said, he's maturing.
I hope so. I know that that position, you know, isn't about being a good runner. It's, you know, half of what you can do is the offensive line. And I think that's true for any. That's why I like football, because you have to depend on each other.
Right.
That's why
it's the ultimate
such
team
a game.
Great game.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Dan in Delaware, thank
football
you for calling.
Is like life.
Steve from Winchester writes in, of all the San Diego injuries, I see Gates' situation as potentially the most important. In the first San Diego game in September, the Pats' defense seemed designed to contain Gates and control the middle of the field. Obviously, the receivers have improved since then, and I assume Turner won't run the same mind-numbing, stupid base 3-4 defense against the Pats' spread offense again. But the Pats' weakness on defense continues to be the middle of the field. If Gates is slowed or unavailable, I see that, maybe surprisingly, as at least as important as the health of the all-world running back and all-mouth quarterback.
I don't know what the injury situation is. What is the – I mean, I know that they were hurt, but what's the story?
Tomlinson expect – he said, I expect to
play. He had a hyperextended knee. He expects
Rivers
to play. Rivers has a sprained MCL.
Is expected to play. He didn't say it. And Gates
– Gates is kind of in the same spot he was last week.
I don't
week.
Think he's going to practice, but he's probably going to play.
I think he'll play, and I don't think he'll be very effective. He couldn't – I don't know how much of that you watched, Tom, but he was having –
yeah.
There was a play that he was lined up one-on-one basically down the sideline with the linebacker and – didn't get any separation at all.
Tom, I've successfully gotten strippers to get a new term put in the Urban Dictionary. It's called a Brandon Merriweather. It is when you go to catch a ball and it bounces off your chest and then you close your arms 3 seconds too late.
Which isn't exactly what you were looking for.
I wanted it to be the dirty version of balls bouncing off your chest, but you get the point. This is probably safer, as, you know, Deidre was a little upset last night when I told her about this whole story and I told her that he had a gun charge in his history.
We always like it when fans from the opposing team write in, and Glenn has. He's a Charger fan. He says, first, congratulations on an almost perfect record. I'm disappointed in the media all over the nation for putting the Chargers down and not giving them credit where it's deserved. All the headlines are negative against the Chargers. See, Patriots fans aren't the only ones. We put up with a lot of adversity, yeah, and it took a lot of guts.
They're actually right.
It took a lot of guts to get this team to where it is now. Our city has gone through some major issues with the fires. I don't see why we don't deserve at least some praise from the media. We earned our spot to meet with the best. We didn't pick a number from a hat, and now we face the champs. We fought our way to end up facing
actually,
the undefeated Patriots. For God's sake, we just beat the defending Super Bowl champions twice. People are forgetting that this Charger team last season was 14-2 and came very close to beating the Patriots. Although the Patriots are a different team, so are we.
But the reason you're not getting sympathy is you dug the hole. You were a 14-2 team. Everything that happened after that 14-2 season, you were responsible for. You got rid of your head coach. Then you came out of the gates and started 1-4 or whatever. But even before that, I mean, they were 1-4. You win
they
a couple
in,
of those
one
games,
and three.
Who knows?
They won their first game, and they lost three in a row. Then they won, I think, two, and then lost another couple.
You have the burden of being considered one of the most talented teams in football. That comes with expectations. The expectation is you're going to win games, be a contender for AFC titles, so you're where you're supposed to be. You didn't get there how you're supposed to be there, but...
I know the Colts were always in the mix as well, but in week two we were thinking this could be a preview of the AFC championship game. Until about the fourth quarter.
Right, up until the Chargers showed, well, they're not really in it.
I didn't even wait that long.
And they
it
turned it on.
Nothing at the half, but I picked San Diego to win that game.
And even when they were like 3-5 or wherever in there, we said, you know who could be dangerous if they can turn it around is the most talented team in football because the NFC West stinks and they're going to get in the postseason and no one's going to want to play them. And how did it play out? No one wanted to play them because they beat the Colts and now they could beat the Patriots.
Tom, yesterday I brought up the point that
they won't,
we've been talking like that all year. We kept saying, you know, they still have the talent. If they can put it together, you know, I don't know, maybe they get together and they start saying, forget about North Turner, forget about the coaching, let's go out there and we know we can put it together. And then we kind of all got to the point where we said, you know what, forget that. They're just not going to put it together. It's not going to happen. And once we finally did that, then
they
suddenly it seems like they put it together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not as impressed with winning the last six games of the year. I don't think I was impressed with what they did in the second half at Tennessee that day, down 17-3. In that fourth quarter. That was an impressive come-from-behind win. But beyond that, I thought they beat teams that they should beat, like Oakland and Denver and stuff like that. But in the playoffs, they played hard. They got the job done, and they're here. So, yeah, I guess you have to respect that. And I don't know if you know, Tom, but Bill says they since Thanksgiving, that's the best team in the league, including the Patriots.
Best team in football.
They've won one more game than the Patriots because they had to play an extra playoff game.
Benjamin Watson took my approach to the postseason. Bill wants to say we're resetting at 0-0. Well, last week I said the Jaguars were 1-0. Ben Watson goes, they're actually better than us. They're 2-0 at this point.
I like that.
And Randy Moss has made it to video on ESPN, News. It's an extended tirade here. So they're showing a long portion of his comments and... This looks like it's going to be a pretty big story, even though he's trying to keep it from being too big a story.
Oh, that don't matter. That doesn't matter if he says, you know, like being proactive, that's not going to matter to the media. So this is going to be plastered.
Matters to me, though. I believe him.
Al Fecto has a running feud with Andy regarding Maroney.
Oh, I'm not sure this is a feud.
He says, come on, Andy, you can do better than that. Listen to the archive of the show the next day after I had called over from here. Fred reads a follow-up email from me where I repeat in writing that I'm fine with Lawrence Maroney as the top running back now and next year. So, Andy, my positive thoughts about Maroney did not just come to me after this week's playoff game. On the other hand, I've always said I want Maroney to have help. That's not any lack of confidence in Maroney as the top back. If I'm a Jaguars fan, I'm glad I have Maurice Jones-Drew to help Fred Taylor.
If you're a
Vikings fan, I'm also glad I have Michael the Burner Turner.
But you're not looking for him. You're glad you have him, but you're not looking for him.
Anytime you want to join the rest of us in the 21st century, fellas, you're all invited. This is a two-tailback league now. The days of 30 pitches to O.J. Simpson or Eric Dickerson every week have been over for some time.
It's only that because that's what the Patriots are doing. Was it that when Corey Dillon was carrying the ball 390 times?
It's a two-tailback league when you don't have one good one.
When you don't have a great one. Because Michael Turner, as good as he is and as good of a backup he is.
He's a backup.
He's a backup.
That's not a two-tailback system.
Absolutely.
He's a
backup. That's what I'm saying.
And they're glad to have him when LT goes down with an injury.
Right. How many carries did he get before LT got hurt the other day?
I think
Michael Turner is very good. I think he could be a starting tailback on a lot of teams. But Tom's right. He's the backup. It's not a two-tailback system.
By the way, the girl wearing the Pats jersey booed last week is from New Hampshire, my home state. Specifically, she's from Stratham, about 15 miles from where I grew up on the seacoast. She seemed to take it all in stride. I think she knew the fans there were booing the jersey, not the person inside. But I still hope she kicked Bill Polian's ass. Actually,
she said it didn't bother her.
The word,
as usual in this country, people are offended
for
when the person who was involved isn't offended.
Well, she's going to be here.
Yeah.
I think
that's
going to
be a secret, by the way. I thought you were kind of...
No, it's on the AP.
No.
AP report.
I know it is today. Yesterday,
there.
You
Who's
made it sound like a surprise.
Well,
punt passing kick, Tom, after the third quarter, the national winners of the punt passing kick were announced at that San Diego Indy game.
I was obviously not watching, so
and
I don't care.
One of the winners was, I think, a 14-year-old girls division. The winner was from New Hampshire, so she had a Patriots shirt on. She was representing the Patriots, and they booed.
Oh, that's good.
It was funny.
And she didn't take offense to it. But
evidently in Indy.
Although she should pretend she did because she's parlayed it into, now she's going to be on the field
Letterman.
Here.
Right.
Well, she's going to be here. She's getting more stuff, tickets,
I think it's
everything.
Great. She's going to get to meet people and meet, I think she's going to get to meet Brady and Belichick.
Why are they doing
stuff?
A girls pump, pass, and kick? They can't
play
football.
It's open-ended.
Well, they can't play football.
It's not like.
They can't.
I wouldn't tell that.
They actually have a women's tackle league here in Boston.
Oh, yeah. I hear it's huge. How many people go to the game? Four?
But I guess in Indy, they're up in arms about it. Negative against their own. I mean, they're killing the fans
in
Indy.
Holy crap. It's sports. You're supposed to boo
I'm
the
just,
guy with the other color
I'm just
on.
I'm telling you, we had an email that came in.
We had so many emails.
She took it sort of like Mariano Rivera did when he
That's
arrived
what
at Fenway.
Was.
Right.
But everybody else has taken it as like this affront against this little girl who they wanted to murder, chew up, and spit out.
Right.
They were booing because she had a Patriots jersey on.
It was very funny.
If a girl went to Texas Stadium and had a Giants jersey on, they'd boo her.
Now, all that
as they
said,
should, and she'd laugh like she should.
I also think it's a great idea that the Patriots are inviting her here, and they're going to make
yes,
a big deal.
That's
I think that's also fun.
Gary, it's up to you to get the crowd going. My suggestion is that
Hogan.
You play the tape of what happened in Indy first, and then Rook comes on and goes, let's make it up, have Rook set up the stage. Show
Gary's
the
against
play
it.
The video and then we'll have
it
our fans make it up to her.
I don't know that I'll go with the video, but we will certainly.
No, you have to
it.
Set the scene, Gary. You have to.
Gary,
lot of people
I,
may
I have
not
a feel
know
like
what
Gary
happened.
Will be doing what he's told.
I'm telling him to do it.
Yeah, but you're not his boss.
Now,
I know you think you're everyone's
can
boss.
Can we guarantee that if a girl was here wearing a Colts jersey, she wouldn't get booed?
No,
of
course
God,
she would
no.
get booed.
And I think
that's
she
the point.
She should get booed.
Because you're
it's
booing
funny.
The jersey, not the girl.
Now, if you're like throwing bottles at her and or like yelling
yeah.
disgusting things, at that's
which
that's
here
wrong.
Is a possibility.
But I mean, if you're just like a lighthearted boo. Like, I think the Mariano Rivera thing, that's the first thing that popped into my
yeah.
mind.
And he loved it. The fans
I
loved it.
I
it was great.
It. Sounds funny.
By the way, Randy Moss still talking. I've never seen an extended interview this long on ESPN in my life.
Oh, Paul's got to go.
There's Andy.
Well, what's
no,
Tom's?
That's not me.
That's Tom King.
Oh.
That's the meanest thing you've ever said.
Paul's got to go. He's
similar
got,
intellect.
He's got a better radio show to attend to.
No, it's
what
not better. Certainly
it's
not more objective. They're still defending the Pats' defense. Had a great game.
Well, let's see. We'll see
good
what
call,
Paul
guys.
Has to do today. And who's on with you? You don't know.
I don't know.
You should ask. You don't want to be on with any hayseed. You know, you got
what's
you
a
should,
hayseed. Isn't
should,
he the hayseed?
You should know.
I don't know what one is, but you made it sound bad, so I'm saying Paul's the hayseed.
First thing I would say: who am I on with? You know, what if
first thing I'd say is that check going to clear?
What if you're on with a Muppet? You know, you don't want to.
Well, he's the Muppet.
There he goes,
the fat one.
Parting shot. Door opens again. Paul
right.
looks in.
Disappointed look.
All right. Also talking about Watson, Ben writes in, according to Mike Reese, Benjamin Watson played 22 of 57 snaps on Saturday. Kyle Brady played 27, so Belichick agrees with you guys. Also,
Watson is still, I believe, dealing with the ankle injury. That's been a problem since going back to Dallas. He came back. Brady said he re-injured it against the Steelers.
So you're making fun of a guy that has an injury now.
No, he didn't have an injury every game he's ever played in. I don't think he's that good.
Also, I have the feeling Dallas Clark and Jason Witten and Antonio Gates, when healthy, are on the field for more than 40% of their offensive snaps.
Well, first of all, we need to stop even comparing Benjamin Watson to the best tight ends in the league. He's not anywhere near it.
Tony wants to know, was the 14-year-old girl that the Colts booed the same 14-year-old that's going to kick Eric's ass?
No, that's a boy, and boy is he going to whoop his ass.
Keep up the great
what's
work.
What's going on? I missed too much.
Some guy emailed in and ripped Eric, and Eric challenged him to a fight, and apparently it's a 14-year-old who does want to fight. Fullback / middle linebacker on his high school football
team. Speaking of that,
said the only way he'll get beat up is if Eric brings his boyfriend with him.
Mike from Wilbraham writes in. He says, "I will fight Eric at training camp if I won't get kicked out."
You won't get kicked out. We'll make sure of it.
Now for a serious thought, the Chargers cannot win this game if LT does not play. Rivers and Gates do not matter as much as he does. LT has more speed than anyone on the Pats defense, and although he may be a fraud, he is still the best running back in the league. My prediction, Pats 42, Chargers 28. It's close till the fourth quarter, and then the Patriots own the fourth quarter. The defense stiffens up, and the Patriots win. On the subject of Ben Watson and Lawrence Maroney, you are right. When they drafted Watson in 05, I thought he would be an absolute monster, the perfect target for Tom Brady. All of these moron listeners that say he has not been disappointed are 100% wrong, and they obviously can't dissect a football game. Watson's one big game this year was against one of the worst defenses in the league, the Browns, and even then I remember him dropping a couple of balls over the middle. When I talk about Watson, I am more amazed that the Pats got to the AFC Championship game last year because Watson was billed as their best weapon. Maroney has not been quite as disappointing, but still, no game until last week has matched his performance against the Bengals last year. So you guys are right, and the homers that say these guys are great need to get their heads out of their...
Matt, is that Matt?
Yeah.
When Matt, he graduates from high school, I say we hire him to replace Eric after he whoops his ass. Well, because that's a great email.
The love is returned. He says, "Andy, what can I say? You are the man. You are the funniest guy. For some reason, I think you would fit in the big show because you would make fun of all their fat asses."
That's true.
"I listened to your podcast, so if Eric says something about me today, I'll reply right away, and you can read it on the top of the show."
Yeah, Eric won't say anything about it. He's now fearful of you because... you know, he's 138
Why
pounds.
Why is Eric challenging people to fight?
Because you know how when he gets really mad, when he says he's not mad, he went off on a rant and said, he turned into you and was challenging people to come down in the parking lot, basically.
14-year-olds?
Well, he didn't know the kid was 14.
Oh. So I was going to say, not even I would kick
but
the
now
crap
that he
out
knows he's 14, he's not backing down.
The kid will kill him, let's be honest.
I don't think Eric could win the pump, pass, and kick contest in the girls' division.
I agree. But yeah, he.
Well, now with his back,
we think we should set it up as a fight. Put it on the website, like $2. It goes to charity. People can log in.
Yeah, with boxing gloves.
Like, make it promoting fights with 14-year-olds.
Boxing gloves. Make it like legit. You know, like
we can't do that. It's against the law. I think you have to.
Why is it against the law?
You can't.
What if he signs a waiver?
You need a license.
I have a backyard.
Yeah, he's got a backyard.
It's sanctioned by the.
What if it's sanctioned by me at my house?
What if we just do it and then play the tape later? Sort of like those backyard brawl things.
Like the jerk tapes?
What if I set up...
What are those tapes?
Andy, what if I set up a website, my own personal website, we do it from my home, and we videotape it?
For the, the People Fund?
Yeah, the Human Fund.
And proceeds go to the Human Fund.
And it'll be like, you know, the Tom B. and Andy J.
Sean. Oh, and by the way, can you send me that MySpace link? I tried to Google on MySpace I know I just crossed a couple different major internet issues, but I couldn't find our MySpace page.
We have a MySpace page?
Some guy emailed in and said he made us
a
MySpace
page.
He created
a MySpace page for us, but
yeah, I went on MySpace. I couldn't find it either.
Tell Hank.
I saw it.
I think it was Hank in Norway.
Yeah.
Hank, send us the link again.
Send us the link, Hank.
So we can go to that.
What's on it? I don't know what MySpace is.
Pictures and all kinds of stuff.
My picture?
Yeah.
How do you get a picture of me?
I don't know, but you appear on all these websites, and you have no idea how you got there.
No, I don't like it either.
Yeah.
I don't like being on MySpace.
Because you do all those public speaking appearances. And
WebRadioPatriots.com, Sean McLaughlin. Well, it comes down to one game, but let's be honest. There will be two games. Who are we kidding? With that said, I like to my interpretation of the great. I say that with a hint of sarcasm. Peter King's things, I think. I will only do five since I don't do Starbucks or drink coffee, and nothing in the natural society or in this world that annoys me belongs in a topic of football. So here's his things that he thinks. Number one, I think the only bigger coaching mismatch than the one we will see on Sunday between Belichick and Turner is Pete Carroll and Bill Parcells, or Tom Coughlin and Wade Phillips. Sorry, Tom. Two, I think I was glad to see Dante Stallworth get out of the wide receiver protection program. I knew he'd be a factor. It's a shame that he is playing his last two games as a Patriot. He is a nice secondary option. I don't know why. That's not necessarily true.
Not necessarily true. I do not close the door on the Dante Stallworth there. And I think this game was what we expected all along. You know, a big play here and there just sprinkled in, except as he admitted, he should have taken it to the house.
Three, I think it's safe to say Drew Bledsoe would not be jetting off to Montana for a few days before playing a playoff game. Even though I don't think Romo's performance was not a result of his vacation, his immaturity is something he never learned from his predecessor. He needs to focus on being a QB, not a superstar. He could be a good one.
Isn't Tom Brady the most focused superstar quarterback on the planet?
Fred. Yes.
And he went to New York with Giselle, right. Has nothing to do with anything.
Nothing to do with it. What did you think about T.O. after the game?
Embarrassing.
Here's the only not making fun of T.O. anymore because he's going to be dead. He's unstable.
As soon as I saw that, I said he's crazy.
He's like
he's
on
crazy.
Top of this like and just ready to fall either way.
Here's the only thing I have about the vacation thing. I don't necessarily have a problem with Romo, but the Patriots and Cowboys are two different teams. The Patriots are a veteran team, been here before, just finished an undefeated season, had all that mental pressure on them. So you say, go take a couple days off. The Cowboys played terrible for a month, and Wade Phillips' idea was, go get away from football and take a vacation. So I'm not blaming Romo.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the coach because I don't think that was the right thing to do for the team at the time. I think you needed to be more to go into the playoffs focused.
Good point.
And
it's a fair argument.
What'd you think about Jerry Jones putting tickets to the NFC Championship game in everyone's locker?
They should win a playoff game sometime in this decade.
In Andy Hart's lifetime, they should win a playoff game.
Number four, I think thanks to Igor and Merriman, Jabbar Gaffney will score two TDs on Sunday. And five, I think and pray that Andre Tippett's name will be called before the game between the Packers and the Patriots as he is elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Everybody tells me he's going to get in. But as Paul said, they were talking about the Hall of Fame this morning on Mike and Mike, and they didn't mention Tippett. No one talks about him. That's the problem. No, the list of 17 comes out, and no one brings up in conversation Andre Tippett.
Now, do you think the Patriots' success this year is going to hurt or help him in the final balloting?
I have no idea.
I was trying to figure that out. I was going to think, hey, you know, this is good. You know, a lot of attention to the Patriots. People thinking Patriots. That should help Tippett because he's part of the history of this team. But then I'm thinking, this team is so good, it almost emphasizes how bad they were back then, and maybe it hurts them. So I couldn't figure it out. But
and this team's so good, they're going to get like 10 in 10 years, so maybe we won't put Tippett in because he'll be a...
But I'm going to make a prediction. He's going to get in.
Everybody tells me he's going to get in, but no one talks about him. I don't know how you get in when no one talks.
This year, I think he's going to get in.
They weren't talking about him today.
Well, Mike and Mike don't have votes, so we don't have to worry about that.
But they are an example of everybody, the way the talk goes.
I know, but...
Jamie Dukes last year, when we were watching last year thinking he'd get in, they went over like every player. Jamie Dukes said, oh, he's got to be in. Yeah. He's got to be in. They never mentioned Tippett, ever.
Well, the guys in the room are a little smarter than that. He had
A little. That's about it.
Well...
Yeah, the guys in the room are the idiots that are in the room down the hall.
Question
the old coot this morning who I said three times, excuse me, and he wouldn't move. He looks like he's been covering the game for 100 years. Finally, I said... Bleep it. Just get the hell out of the way. Those are the people that are in that room. Idiots who shouldn't be driving and shouldn't be in the way.
That's a lot today.
That rubbed me the wrong way. I said, excuse me, and the old kook didn't move.
Who's going to speak on Tip's behalf this
year? Ron Borges.
Again? Really?
Last time.
Really? Okay. Eric the Leg is here. Eric,
how are you guys?
Just come from practice.
Good. How are you?
Indoors or outdoors?
No, out on the field turf.
You're cold at college.
Yeah, it is pretty brisk
out
there.
About 20 degrees out today?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's pretty cold.
Wind?
No, nothing right now. Nothing right now. No. Nothing there. The big news
pretty
was
when I got here.
The biggest news was Richard Seymour wasn't there until the very last second that the media was allowed. He was a very late arrival to practice.
He was in the locker room.
Yeah.
He was giving Eric Greg Dickerson a hard time asking him why he was covering this team. I thought he was Celtics guy.
There were several confrontations in the locker room today.
Really? Do tell.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's get to practice.
Okay.
So Seymour came late.
He's the director of the show now.
Well, you love practice more than you. You love it's enough with that.
All right, let's do the practice first.
So Seymour came late. He was it looked like he was fine. There were full pads out there, but he just showed up. For whatever reason, he showed up a little bit late. Mel Mitchell was not there. Neither was Ryan O'Callaghan, who a reliable source tells me is just under the weather today. Black shirts went to Matt Gutierrez.
Goots!
And practice squad guard Dan Connolly.
The guy no one ever knows
or talks about. But speaking of practice squad, there were two additions today. You might have seen in the locker room there were two new guys walking around.
I'm sorry, I was focused on the 80 people around Moss and the brewing scandal, not the new practice squatter. Get so mad.
You're such a... God bless you, Andy.
Who are they?
They're new, I say in quotes, because they're guys we had in training camp. Jamara Williams and Kyle Bissinger, the linebacker.
Buzz Bissinger?
Yes.
Did we ever find out if he's related to Buzz Bissinger?
No, we didn't.
I think he got cut and we said, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Right.
Still don't care.
So pretty uneventful as far as practice goes. No injuries or anything like that to report. So
because all the bombshells were in the locker
room. All the bombshells were in the locker room today. Yeah, we had players confronting reporters. We had players talking about allegations. It wasn't your typical Wednesday here, that's for sure.
James in England has emailed the MySpace link. It's myspace.com/PFW in progress.
Then their search engine sucks because I searched PFW in progress and it said nothing matches your search.
You do it as one word?
Oh, you got to do it as one word?
Maybe.
That's dumb.
Well, that's what it is.
As I said, their search engine sucks.
MySpace.com/PFW in progress. And as far as how I got your pictures, you have to ask the host of PFW how he already has seen the page connect the dots.
James, so, Fred, you were a guilty party in this process.
I saw the page. I sure,
and you sent
did.
Him the photos, apparently. That's what he's saying.
I don't know. P.S. he says, I'm out on a training exercise for the next 4 days as I have just joined the British Special Air Service.
Whoa.
So I won't be able to chime in for the rest of the week.
No, cheerio.
We're big.
You guys have a military?
Wow!
They even won. Didn't they get
talking smack about 275 years?
Like Argentina for the
The Falkland Islands.
Yeah, that's a hell of a military you got there.
Tom, did you watch American Idol?
Some of it. I taped it though.
I liked the guy who was me who sang to Paula, and he said, "If you were Columbo, I'd Peter Falk you."
Oh.
All I could think of was the guy in the press box saying "Falk."
I liked the skinny blonde-haired girl. Who's
funny? I hate her.
Because
to me, she's Ayla Brown all over again.
Who?
She sings. She does karate,
what
trains horses. She's too perfect. I don't like her.
I love her.
She has a coke addiction.
Allison I'd dump her in a second for
Gary,
her.
Gary, is there someone on the phone? Oh, Jamie from Houston's on the phone. Jamie, how you doing?
Hey, there we go. Good day, fellas. The beat goes on. It's
What's
a good
up?
Thing, huh?
Yeah. It sure is.
A couple of things, talking about the running game, and it's good to have the running back, you know, dealing with some adversity, kind of been in obscurity over the last couple of years, dealing with some injuries, coming back and, catching some passes out of the backfield and making a factor in games, and that's a great thing. But enough about Kevin Falk. Yeah, it's good. It's good to see Maroney show up, though, in seriousness, and hopefully he can contribute and come to be the guy we're expecting to be. And then
well, if we're going to go with limited samplings, then the last month he's looked phenomenal.
Yeah, and my dad, I love him to death, but he's half crazy. He's one of these conspiracy theorists. Oh, Bill's been saving him up. You know, he did that to Antoine Smith. He saved up Antoine Smith in the last part of the season, and that's all they've been doing. They've been saving their bullets. I don't believe it, but
I don't either.
You know, right now they sound like good ideas.
The only thing I'll say about that though is if Maroney was a little banged up and Bill thought that they can just beat like the Eagles without running the football, if he had
it's
an
all
injury,
between Maroney's
no,
ears.
I agree with you, but I'm saying about the saving part. If he had like an injury and Bill was thinking, well, we're not going to run the ball much in this game anyways. When we do, we'll throw Falk in there. But I don't think he was necessarily saving him for the playoffs.
No, I don't believe Bill does that.
A couple other quick pieces. Vince Wilfork, he had, y'all had made comments, and it was noticeably visible early in the season that he had kind of slimmed down. And, he had obviously had an all-pro year, but it looks like he's kind of put a little bit of the weight back on.
I was going to say, he's back to
like
normal.
He's been more of a force. What do you guys think on that?
I think he's had a great year. And, I know we talked about the weight loss, but he's always...
Looks
like a nose channel.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's always had, his belly enters the room before he does. He has that big belly that sticks out in front of him. You watch him like a TV timeout or something, and everybody else is off the field, and he's still lumbering off, and the belly's coming first. I mean, you can tell Vince Wilfork from a mile away.
Yeah, it's the offensive lineman brush guard, right? They can't get to his knees because his belly's there.
That's true. Fends him off. It's like that thing in front of trains that pushes the cows out of the way.
That's right, cow catcher, brush guard.
Yeah.
And one other piece, as far as prospects for linebacker, we need to build some more depth. Old guy prospect that may be in the midst that we probably would like to look at, maybe Jamie Sharper.
Dan
and then
Tycho.
Another guy from ex-Houston Texans lineup is Jason Babin. Seahawks picked him up. They didn't even activate him. You know, why'd they pick him up if they don't activate him? But I think he's talented, and he may be looking for a home. And you know, he's a guy that, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
Rather have that D'Amico Ryans fellow that you guys have.
I would too.
Wasn't he a first round pick who was an absolute bust?
But I think Jamie's on the right track, because if what we talk about ever happens, they're going to be scrambling to fill linebacker roles. They're going to have to sign somebody.
Well, and plus they said, like, you know, I read a thing over the weekend that Seau doesn't want to retire. Here's my opinion. If you win the Super Bowl, you got to replace those hungry veterans with more hungry veterans.
Because
I don't care what anybody says about Seau. Once he gets that Super Bowl, he's not going to be the same guy anymore, especially when you're 40 years old.
He's admitted it. He's said, I don't, you know, people talk about him practicing, getting here at 5 in the morning. I don't want to do that. I do that because I want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm here for one thing, and that's a ring.
I think Bill does a good job of bringing in veterans that are hungry.
Yes.
And once you win the Super Bowl, I think you got to
go undefeated.
Yeah.
I mean, what else is there?
There's nothing. What are you going to do next year?
Right.
Trouble
is, you
got to
get those guys who are hungry.
You got to make sure the guy is Junior Seau and not Chad Brown.
Right. Like Jason Taylor. Like for just a guy. I mean, I know they're not going to get him, but just a guy out there. But Andy, I should tell you, thinking of you when this happened, I'm sure you'll get a kick out of it. I'm talking to my mother on Sunday, you know, after the Patriot game, and she goes, "Hang on a second, your father wants to talk to you." And he gets on the phone, he goes, "Who's number 21 for the Patriots?" I said, "Randall Gay." He goes, "He effing sucks." He goes, "What's he doing playing 30 yards off receivers like that?" I said, "He was replacing somebody." He goes, "He is awful."
The best thing that happened to Ellis Hobbs and the criticism that's come to him is Randall Gay played. I mean, people think, well, get rid of Hobbs, sucks, he's the worst starter. Well, there's a reason he's a starter. The guys behind him aren't as good.
Michael in Montreal.
Can't fill out the survey. Sorry, Mike.
I meant to write
Chris.
In yesterday, but I was too busy giving my girlfriend a Brandon Merriweather. I've been reading some articles about how
means,
Antonio Cromartie may be able to match up against Moss. The argument is usually that Cromartie wasn't against him in week two, but is now the Chargers' best corner. In your opinion, can Cromartie match up against Moss?
No.
With or without the help he'll obviously be getting?
Well, that's the whole question. And, Fred, you love this talk. It's the tennis ladder talk. If you put your best corner on Moss, are you also giving him help? Or do you do like the Jags did and said, we'll use help plus our second best corner on Moss and let our best corner take away Welker or Stalwart, the other weapons. So,
like the
but I don't think Cromartie would be good covering Welker because he's tall, and I don't think he's a slot guy. I think you're going to see Drayton Florence in the slot. If I were the Patriots, what I would do is find out who Quentin Jammer is covering and take advantage of him because he's not very good. Plus, I think, did anyone ask Bill if the defense is different since Merriman complained about it?
No one asked Bill.
Because I would be interested to know if they're doing anything different. Because if they're not, they'll get killed. You know, if they come in here with the same kind. Because I'm just wondering. I know Merriman complained that they weren't being aggressive enough. And just from watching it on TV, they look like a more aggressive defense from what I saw earlier in the year. So I'm just wondering if they do things a little differently. Because if they're going to keep linebackers out there like they did last time, they might as well not even make the trip.
I just think in terms of Merriman, you know, and Jaws talked a little bit about this morning. He apparently came away with the same feeling I have. Merriman puts up these huge numbers, but Merriman and Phillips, there are games where they just flat out disappear.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be these, like, dominant, change the game.
You know,
they stink.
You know what the difference is? Like, just comparing him to somebody that was drafted in the same year, DeMarcus Ware. When Ware doesn't have sacks, he's still always in the backfield.
Right.
You know, like, when he plays, Ware is always a force, whether he's recording numbers or not. That's why I think numbers can be overrated.
No question.
But you're right. There's games when you watch Merriman where you don't even see him.
Nothing. Yeah. And against the Colts, I mean, he made a play late, but
that
I don't
one
remember
where
he
tripped up. Manning was the only
play
made all day.
I mean, he's supposed. And the other thing that Ware does that these guys don't is my eyeball test. I hear about all these guys, and we've seen Merriman a couple times. Nothing.
We've
seen Ware. He did something. James Harrison, I saw on TV, look like Defensive Player of the Year. He comes here. The only thing I see him do is get into a fight with Logan Mankins.
I really don't think Merriman or Phillips will be a factor in this game.
Just so you know, I'm now going blowout. Last night on New England Cable News, I went with a 10-point win because I thought the way the defense has sucked. But then I went to Bill's press conference, and he's back to smiles and jokes and giddy again.
I don't see any way that – I just think that's
– By the way, we made up your score for the TV show, 41-10.
Okay.
You okay with that?
That's fine. I think the Patriots are going to win rather easily here again. I mean, I know we keep saying that, and then they don't.
Right.
But you factor in the injuries with Ted Cottrell, I just think Bill's going to take such advantage of the coaching staff. And I will give Norv Turner a little credit. I thought they were getting screwed royally in that Colts game by some of the calls. I mean, absolutely. And he actually showed some of – Norv's usually on the sidelines with that clueless look on – he actually looked like
he
was involved in the game.
Right, yeah.
Well, did you hear the day after in Polian's radio show, he actually came out and had the nerve to criticize the refs?
You got
to
be kidding.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no.
They got every single call.
Not according to
him. They got phantom calls, too. Like
that
Reggie Wayne passing
interference. He's bringing it to the competition committee.
You got
to
be kidding.
Oh, he's just...
He's a menace.
At one point, I was just thinking to myself, is the NFL fixed? Are they really trying to get the Patriots and Colts? Because it looked that way. It was that bad.
That ass PFW guy was right.
Yes.
Fixed.
Yeah. Justin Bell from New Hampshire says, I just listened to yesterday's podcast and was totally amazed that you're getting raked over the coals by these Patriot message boards. It reminds me why I stay away from the sports boards.
Watson.
The people there seem to be flat out nuts.
When we talked about Watson last week, and we were saying disappointed, you know, things we said, and I called him, looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. Now everybody, because he caught a couple touchdowns, now apparently that turned into a thread. They're playing
the
audio,
making
fun of us as idiots, like just shredding us.
Oh, really?
Now one game, Benjamin Watson is now Antonio Gates.
See, this is the thing I don't get. If you're a Patriots fan, aren't you disappointed in Watson? Aren't you? Because I have
these people are. Our listeners
I have news for you. Those passes that he caught, he's lucky he caught those. The way he caught them, like cradling the ball like that, he shut his eyes and just hoped.
He can't catch.
I just don't understand. Like, okay, he's had two good games this year. They've played 17.
Right.
I don't get it.
Give him a good game, by the way, if he scores.
Right.
Like they were rattling off one catch, 19 yards, touchdown.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't know Christian Fourier was now your idol, because that's what Christian Fourier used to did when we called him Scorier, because he would have a bunch of touchdowns and was really somewhat irrelevant in the offense.
I see him as a more athletic Anthony Fasano. Anthony Fasano catches touchdown passes. Sometimes he'll catch the ball, sometimes he doesn't. He can't make anybody miss. He gets tackled. I see him the same way. And I don't have anything personally against Benjamin Watson.
I actually
think he's a real nice guy.
And I also don't really... I know it's a joke, and it is a cheap shot to say look like Tarzan, play like Jane, but that's what he is. He looks phenomenal.
Yeah, he should be.
The guy that comes off the bus to scare people, that's him.
I will say it again. You ask 100 NFL fans who Ben Watson is, and they remember him for chasing down Champ Bailey.
Yeah.
If that's your greatest play as a tight end, you have problems.
Justin says, personally, I prefer my sports writers to be objective and separated from their fandom. I've watched Watson drop passes all season long. I've watched Maroney getting limited carries and not breaking big runs most of the season as well. If I read PFW or listened to your podcast and just heard you guys blowing smoke up their asses, I'd lose a ton of respect for the newspaper and the podcast, and I'd be questioning your motives. As it is, I appreciate the education and the knowledge you give us and your obvious insight. Just wanted to let you guys know that not all of us fans are fanatics. There is a difference there sometimes. I really appreciate what you guys do. I've been listening for well over a year, but don't email that often. Just had to get that off my chest.
Well, here's what'll happen.
Good stuff.
Say Green Bay's up by four in the Super Bowl, fourth down from the 20. Patriots going in and Ben Watson drops a touchdown. That's all that ever have to happen.
Right.
It's the Roy Williams thing. Cowboy fans held on to him for so long, and now they just can't do it anymore. It's the George Bush argument.
Right.
You know, Republicans, they backed him. If he ever drops a big – last year, all we got were things killing Ben Watson.
Right.
He can't catch, blah, blah, blah. So he has one game – that first pass by Brady might have been the best pass I've ever seen in the history of the NFL in the end zone.
Yep,
he was covered like a blanket.
Yep.
Watson just went up and the ball stuck to his arms.
And Brady also told him exactly where he was. I don't know if you noticed, he gives him a little hand signal, and then the second he gives the hand signal, he just zips it in there and basically was,
you're asking
you
about
better
that
catch
today?
This. No, he alluded to it.
He's amazing. Brady is just phenomenal.
Couldn't get any better.
And I also think if Ben Watson went somewhere else, he'd just be Daniel Graham. Nobody would ever hear from him again. Brady makes these players so much better. He's just the best, in my opinion, probably the best that's ever played the game.
Justin in Alaska, Is Ellis that mentally challenged? In his post-game interview, someone asked Ellis about the Jags throwing more this game. His response was, well, really, the media set us up, always talking about the run. Are you kidding me? Even if you are buying into that as a player, you don't say that. You sound mentally challenged, and not the normal kind of mentally challenged, the Felger Hart level of mentally challenged. Sperano, so what? The placement of the P and A in this guy's name saves him from countless jokes? Not to discount this guy already, but really, is this anything? Ooh, is Gary? This anything but a puppet government for the team?
I just want to know what makes him qualified to be a head coach.
I've already told you, Tom.
He's Italian.
According to Fred, Parcells is always like the Italians.
He likes Italians.
He does. Fred is right on that.
He was our.
My father actually told me when he was in Dallas to send my resume because he said Parcells loves Italians. You never know, he might get you a job.
He
it's
was
like
our
Fred
offensive
got the
coordinator
here.
At BU back when I was there.
Sperano?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
So you got you know
O line and offensive coordinator. Yeah.
Wow.
And
Eric didn't really play.
And then they gave.
I
up,
didn't play O line. That's
football.
For sure.
It must have been a hell of a coach.
Yeah. Gaffney, why was Dante and Jabbar splitting time in Saturday's game? Is Dante not our for sure number two now, or is Jabs a better blocker and we knew we were going to screen and run more?
First of all, Jabbar Gaffney's been playing
a lot
for
several
months.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this, and even Brady sort of on the record just talked about how their skills are a little different. And
they have different packages,
right.
Different down and distance.
You leave their
stuff.
Packages alone. That'll get you fired.
Let's see. A couple other things. I have to say I want Green Bay. I think they are a slightly better team than the Giants. However, A, revenge for 96 could be ours. B, our last meeting with them, we had success with no wide receivers. And C, our old and slow linebacking core will not have to tackle the tank Jacobs. They can hit but not bring down Grant, who won't cause as much soreness for them. Also, he sent us some secret
footage. It's the last game of the year. Who cares if you're sore?
Spreads right? 8.5.
He also sent some
for Green Bay, 13.5 for the Giants.
Oh. Hmm. He also sends us some secret footage of Paul at a Colts game when he was younger. So I can't imagine what that film is going to be like.
Is it a fat kid, Gary?
It's a new
kid. I'm coming in, Gary!
Finally, Norv has his team practice in a meat locker this week, so if Mr. Kraft decides to hang slabs of meat on the sidelines, we're screwed.
Isn't it supposed to be like 10 degrees, Fred?
Something like that, yeah.
What I heard last week.
It's going to be cold. Who's on the phone, Gary? Steve in Portland, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, who was that guy that looked like Lawrence Maroney that was running really hard this weekend?
I don't know, but let's hope he shows up again this week.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
See, now, Steve, here's the thing. It's Maroney was taking advantage of the Jags worrying about the pass, but that's what I was thinking he'd do all season. You know what I mean? Like, teams have always been worried about the pass against. So, like, I heard someone say, well, it's not that impressive because Jacksonville was focused on the passing game. But teams have been playing the Patriots that way all year. So I really think, I don't know if he was, if there was an injury that we didn't know about or if they tried to change him a little bit, but to me he looks like the Lawrence Maroney of last year before he got hurt. In my opinion, when he hurt his ribs last year, he's never been the same until the last couple of weeks here. And now he's back, he's got that bucking motion with his head. He's just like Barber. They run the same pretty much with the stiff arms, yep. with that. He dips the shoulder into you, and he's returned to that. And I think now that he has, he's become more effective.
And more confident.
Yes, a lot more confident.
I thought he was really punching people in the mouth when he was running downfield, and he hit somebody. He'd just knock him backwards, and I thought, wow, you know.
Yeah, he's playing.
That's Lawrence Maroney.
Like right. He was playing like a first-round pick should be playing.
Well, and those, I don't know, you think it was a little bit different with the way they were doing the inside handoffs instead of you know, he was coming in front of Brady instead of behind him or something, and he was following looked like he was following like Kyle Brady to the outside and got some of those big runs on the outside by doing the inside handoff and just following his blockers to the outside.
Yeah, I just think he's running with more. He's not thinking as much. You know, it looked like earlier in the year he'd think when he got the ball, and by the time you make up your mind, you're tackled in the backfield. Now it looks to me he's getting the ball and he's just going, and that's what he did last year, which got everyone so excited.
He's definitely getting better. You know, he's definitely getting good blocks, not just from the O-line, but from the receivers downfield. But
the receivers are blocking. That last game, that's as good a game I've ever seen receivers block down the field.
But I think the biggest thing, too, is like he's had a few games now where he's had 100 yards or 80 to 90 tough yards. it's more those tough yards, I think, like that third down and one from the 10 where he almost dragged everybody into the end zone for the touchdown.
Yeah.
That was probably one of his best runs all year.
Yeah.
Because it was a tough, 80 hard yard run, runs. And it gave him the confidence that he needed.
But now he's mixing those. He's having the tough yards, and he's mixing in those 26, 29-yarders, a pass play.
Yeah, a big play is 24 yards. Not everyone's Barry Sanders.
No,
they're not going to rip off 80-yard runs every game.
There's a reason they give you, what is it, runs of 10 yards and or more and passes of 20 or more. Those are big plays. Mm-hmm. A 21-yard catch, big play. Mm-hmm. 12-yard run, that's a good play. And that video... Go ahead.
I just thought he ran hard. I thought those inside handoffs worked really well for him. And just the way he punched people in the mouth, that was pretty darn... That's pretty impressive, and I thought he was good. Even in the Giants game when he ran really hard but didn't get a lot of yards. And I thought it was interesting how, I think it was the second to last possession when they went down and got the field goal. Didn't they give him the ball a couple times? And usually they would just go to a spread offense and start passing at that point. Didn't really trust him.
Either that or they'd put Vrabel and Seau in at tight end and fullback and put Evans in the backfield and give him the
ball.
They're
becoming more balanced on offense.
Absolutely.
They have a new dimension over the last month.
They're running.
But before I go, I had advice for Eric for a new girlfriend. take his blonde blow-up doll and color her hair black, and then he's got a brunette girlfriend. So.
Wow. That's, that's
well done.
Spoken from a man with experience, I can tell.
Now, he's like me. He can't take it.
Are you gonna fight him, too?
I know from experience.
I don't remember challenging this kid to a fight, but
you
I'll
did
just say
he
this.
Wants a piece of you.
You said that he reminds us of a little Andy Hart, you know, linebacker, fullback, steroid problem, it sounds like, right?
I hope he kicks
14-year-old kid. Let me just say this. I'm not gonna beat up on some minor, so... Whoever that kid is, whatever his
because
name is.
Because you can't.
There's no chance of you beating up on this minor.
Regardless of the facts, Gary. Call me in 4 years, buddy, when you're an adult, and then you'll be in your prime, and you'll have
getting
no excuse
on a
for not beating me. So.
Eric's starting with his martial arts bite now. But by
I'll need four years to train,
from now,
too. Yeah.
Be a yellow belt.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. I'll fight you. What the hell?
Ooh, the little kid?
Yeah, we might as well have some fun.
Okay.
You going to fight the 14-year-old kid?
What the hell?
Well, he wants to date 16-year-olds, so why not?
From like 100 yards away, can I shoot you with my pellet gun?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Fred,
this show just turned into Jackass?
How many bullets can you get like in a real gun?
What do you mean?
Like a gun, like if I wanted to kill somebody, how many bullets could I
you
get?
You really want to put this on record, Tom?
If you have a... It depends on what kind of gun it is. If you know, everybody was if you have a clip, you can have like 20 rounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For like what? A six shooter, I'm assuming, has six?
Right.
Good. Okay.
But they have
math,
these clips that you put in. It's full of bullets.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And they'll kill somebody?
Well, yeah.
You got any plans after the show, Tom? What's going on?
If I'm
going
to kick it in 10 years,
Dallas?
I'm taking some people with me. Just
me, right?
12 years
from now. I'll be working 10 years.
12 years from now, if I give you a call and say I want to meet you guys for lunch, and I say bring Bob Doyle, you know something's up.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
If I see Tom Casale on the phone and I haven't talked to him for a decade, I won't be
hanging up the phone.
Chris from the Bronx, glad you're here this afternoon to play the Randy Moss clips, and at least begin to set the record straight with all the available information. I hope this isn't a distraction for the rest of the team.
Won't be.
I was petrified of playing the Colts and felt relief at the San Diego upset, but now, being a Patriots fan, I've worked myself into a nervous wreck over this week's game. However, I take heart in the fact that Manning was successful against them, and if his receivers had helped him out once or twice, the Colts would have won. While I think Brady will have success underneath, I think he'll have a better chance to throw long versus the Chargers than he did against the Jags. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And lastly, hey, Andy, way to call, tell Cali Girl she'll be giving it to the Chargers fan and then recommend the Pandas.
For the record, the scenario you just pointed out is the same tune that the Chargers fans are singing. Because if David Carrard can do it against that defense and if his receivers had made a play, we can do that. I mean, that's the same tune that you're spinning if you're Philip Rivers and those receivers.
The only thing I think is that the Chargers are to the Colts what Denver is to the Patriots. They match up for some reason.
The SATs?
No, I'm saying for some reason the Chargers give the Colts problems.
No, I know.
And I still believe that whatever happened last week, the Colts are the only team that could have beaten the Patriots.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And I know they didn't get any pass rush. People could say, well, if they came to five, it doesn't matter. They were the one team that could beat the Patriots, and they were taken out. And the other thing I'll say is I was absolutely 150,000,000% wrong on Reggie Wayne. That guy is a number two receiver for a reason. He sucks. I mean, how many passes? That pass where he got nailed like that, Harrison makes that. I've seen him make that catch a million times.
Yep.
And Harrison's done. He'll never play again.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. That Colts offense, you know, looked like Joseph Addai got a little worn down as the season went on.
You lose
your head coach. We'll see, you know.
The other thing is, like we were talking about this yesterday, was you got – rarely do you see a team lay it all on the line like San Diego did last week. They you know, had starters going down left and right. They have to go – do that two times on the road and try to come up with a win. I think one was valiant enough. I don't see them coming here and do that again.
They played two very physical football games where I don't think the Patriots didn't even get their jerseys dirty against Jacksonville.
That's a good point, Eric.
The Chargers this year are the Patriots last year, and they just probably won't jump out to a lead in the game. They come up short. Real quick, Fred, I got to give out today's word of the day. It is rusty trombone. Rusty trombone.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds funny.
Trombone. I'll use it in a sentence. Eric is considered one of Rhode Island's best rusty trombone players.
So are the Patriot fans already on Phillip Rivers?
For what? Talking smack?
Just
and
being Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. Well, they think I don't know if they are, but I am. He's an idiot. He'll never be a Super Bowl like leader quarterback. He's like you. He's fighting with drunk guys in the first row.
As he's injured, walking off the field,
well,
he's yelling
at
people.
One, I don't think a great quarterback, like a Tom Brady type, a Joe Montana, doesn't do that. But at least he's yelling, I'll be back. Yeah. Then you don't come back, first of all.
Right.
And then you're arguing with the guy behind the bet. Like, what a hothead loser he is.
Does that kind of attitude help him in a game like this where you kind of, you're the underdog, you're coming in here facing the undefeated Patriots? Does that kind of I don't give a crap attitude help him or hurt him?
I don't know. Hurts him. Because he doesn't I think to help you, at some point it has to stop. There's like a limit, and I don't think he has a limit. It goes on. He loses control.
Yeah.
And, you know, we joke about it on the show, but people literally behind the Chargers bench could affect this game if they yell at Rivers, and he yells back.
And they get in his head.
You know, and,
he starts,
and then he starts, and then maybe LT says, hey, why don't you pay attention to the field, not those fans, and he turns it to a they're emotional, and I think at some point that hurts.
Well, at least he didn't say what Igor Olshansky said.
Who? New England? Man, seriously, I mean, they're more worried than we are, I promise you, because believe me, they know what's up.
When did he say this?
After the game.
Patriots know
what's
up.
This is new?
This is from after beating the Colts. This is at the RCA Dome. They know what's up.
Igor Olshansky.
Speaking of the Colts, did you guys talk about the girl from New Hampshire?
Yes.
That's good.
Guy shows up late and thinks we dropped the ball the first hour.
Maybe the Chargers, maybe they're like the Steelers used to be with Joey Porter. Maybe they feel this is the best way for them to play is to look
talk
at you in the
up.
Eyes. And yeah, I guess because
I don't think it's going to work.
They've played the Patriots quite a few times in the last couple of years. You would think that they know by now just to shut up.
Right.
They just can't do it.
Dan in Southern California says, Moss is good people. I hope the Pats crush San Diego when he gets to accomplish all he's worked for. It's so easy to tear people down compared to how hard it is to build a reputation. I'm sure that over time he will be remembered for his greatness. In the meantime, we all have to have his back. By we, I mean the whole family that is Patriot football. Screw the laundry. I root for people I like. I like the Kraft family. I like the Stern father, Billy B. I like the aw shucks overachiever, Tom. And I like the free spirit, Randy Moss. Haters hate. Players play. We got Moss's back. So says Dan from Southern California.
All right, Dan.
All right.
Good. Bet you he wouldn't have yours.
if he leaves next year, is he still going to be good?
Well, no,
people?
At least he's honest. What did he say? He roots for players, so he should root for them next year.
Josh says, why is Andy acting like an ass today? What's the
today?
Difference
what do you
between?
Mean,
right.
you ended the sentence a little late.
What is the deal? Did someone give him too much sugar or something? Turn down the volume, Andy, and stop attacking everyone. It makes it seem like you have troubles at home or something.
That's his thing. Haven't you guys heard this show before?
I don't really feel any different than I do every day.
And how come no one is giving Tom crap about missing work yesterday? There was a lot of speculation on yesterday's show that he was sick over the Cowgirls' loss. If I were filling out a PFW pop quiz for today's show, Andy would definitely be the thing I am liking least.
Who's this?
About the show. Josh.
Shut up,
from
Josh.
Arlington, Virginia.
And leave Tom alone.
I think I dislike Josh for something else, too. I don't remember why, but I think I do.
Well, Josh, I'll be dead in 15 years, and you just made the list. How do you like that, buddy?
Yeah.
And I'm getting one of those clips that Fred said that kills about 20 people. I was just going to go for 6 or 7.
Well, you can get more clips, too. You can have a couple extra on your belt and then just reload.
Luke says, read this, Cork Soakers, or I'll tell Eric you think he's hot. this is Lucas from Wilters, Switzerland.
Gary! Wilters, Switzerland. No, check.
Don't even try to pin it. You won't find it, he says. Sorry, well, kind of for the subject line, but I figured this is the only way to get my email read. I'm a first-time emailer and not that long-time listener yet, but I'm getting to it. Love the show, although you pretty much talk about everything else than football, which is okay, I guess, since you all have so freaking interesting lives. Seriously, I get looked at regularly because I start laughing my butt off on the train home whilst listening to the podcast. Also, for whilst using that word.
Wow.
I know you talked about
it.
Ooh,
and Eric saying you read it wrong. Ooh.
It's
whilst.
Whilst. Oh, yes. Okay. I know you talked about it
sorry
yesterday,
to be pompous.
But is Samuel really hurt? And tell that Scala whatever punk to do something helpful and, like, get news from training, for example.
News
okay.
from training.
News from training. They call it that in
oh,
Switzerland.
Oh, like practice?
Practice,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I never saw Samuel hurt. I never saw him get beat on plays like he did last Saturday, and that sucks. Still, I think they played a good game, and I'm not worried about the Chargers whatsoever. What do you think of Rivers? He was drawing at some Colts fans, blah, blah, blah. Believe me, I'd love to, but okay. Anyway.
That one kind of petered out.
That was all in Swedish.
But you know what the part I love? The fact that you knew how to say that word, that's why you're pompous.
Right.
I'd never even heard that word before.
That's all right. Just one thing, I heard Felger for the first time last Thursday, and
sorry.
Wow, man, he just sounds creepy. So much for that. He says he'll be in the Holliston area, and maybe he'll bring over some Swiss chocolate.
I like white chocolate.
Oh.
I can only eat so much white chocolate.
Oh, I
have a little bit, but.
It is over because it's super sweet.
How much are you eating?
Right. He gets one of those like tall bunnies, and he tries to eat the whole thing. It's 3 feet tall. That would explain the, lack of 30-pound weight loss, maybe a 15-pound addition. Asante Samuel, I told you, was me piecing together like little pieces of a puzzle. Mm-hmm. He misses a couple days of practice, then he has a terrible game. He looks maybe at times like he's limping. Of course, that could be the Eugene Wilson I just got beat limp and not a real limp. And then I went to talk to him after the game, and he said I got to go get treatment at the trainer.
Right.
So
what's going on here? I'm not here for a while. You're starting fights on message boards. You're making up injuries. You're taking pot shots at Lawrence Maroney for some reason.
The best fight I started on message board was I was ripping Brady for being a pompous endorser. He only endorses, like, highbrow products, whereas Manning does, you know, the average Joe, Oreos, and everything I use. And apparently strippers posted that on some chat room got into a fight, and everybody started ripping him, and then he came back to me for an argument. Oh, that's your fight you picked, buddy boy. I just said it.
John in Missouri says, I have to disagree with Tom about Watson's play in the Denver game. It was a defining play. Even the Rat Shanahan said it was the best football play he had ever seen. Not a bad play to be remembered by, and it shows his effort.
But
give him a break. He's a damn good
player.
He's
a tight end. It's defining him as a guy who has speed. That's what he is, a freak of nature who can run fast, who can't play football.
Yeah, that was my point. I'm not saying the play wasn't a good play. It was a very good play, but it's not – if Randy Moss did that, was that what you would remember him for?
Tom Brady, exactly.
You would remember him for all the great catches
he
made.
He was drafted in the first round as a tight end.
Yeah,
he was
like
meant
Tom
to
Brady
catch football.
Has thrown blocks on end arounds and stuff. Is that his defining?
Right.
No, because you got to get through the soon-to-be four Super Bowls, the Super Bowl MVPs, the NFL MVP.
I don't get the whole – I just don't get this kind of – am I supposed to still be waiting for Roy Williams to be good? Am I being too harsh on him? Because – I mean, I can make a couple of arguments. Well, he did this, he did this. So am I supposed to wait for him? Because my opinion, if you draft a guy in the first round and 3 years later they're average, like Daniel Graham was average, we proved that you could get rid of him and still run the football, still protect. Guys like that are average. Ben Watson is average. I don't understand why you're happy with that.
Speaking of Roy Williams, someone defending Roy on one of those Cowboy board says he is the scapegoat for the team losing. Last I checked, he was not on the offensive line the second half. Roy had jack and squat to do with the Cowboys' loss last week. He played well. Seems odd that his peers vote him into the Pro Bowl or All-Pro every year if he can't play. Oh, well, I guess some fat blank watching from his living room in Coppell, I guess that's a town in Texas, is more knowledgeable. Roy was one of the few defensive players that played really well the other day.
Yeah, because when he had that one-on-one to make a tackle to prevent a first down, he got stiff-armed into the third row. He didn't do a thing. Now, this is just some guy in a message board, right?
This sounds like strippers cutting and pasting or somebody cutting and pasting.
Listen, I don't have to argue this point anymore. Let's be honest.
Right.
You know why he went to the Pro Bowl? Sean Taylor, dead. Adrian Wilson, IR. Brian Dawkins missed the first half of the season with injuries. It took three things.
And he's Roy Williams.
And
the
he's
name
Roy Williams.
Gets out there.
Who else are you going to take? I think Darren Sharper should have went. The guy And someone on the Cowboys message board said it perfectly, and I think this is a great point. They'll never be able to do anything on defense while he's there because he's always a liability, and you always have to protect him. And I'm telling you this right now. If they cut him, he'd be out of the league in 2 years because the other team that signed him wouldn't have the, well, we took him eighth in the draft. We gave him all this money. He's that bad.
More importantly, with you bouncing around those Cowboys message board, what's this little underlying story I've heard about January 8th, there was a one-mile-long UFO flying over Texas with fighter jets following it?
Oh, yeah, that's...
I don't know.
There's been a lot of talk about... There's been several people who've spotted UFO-type...
Is there a picture?
Thing. Yeah, well, there's an artist rendering of it.
No.
I'm so sick you drew it?
I'm no. sick and tired of this. If there's ghosts, if there's UFOs, I want pictures. And it's been, what, a million years and we don't have any pictures?
But apparently there were a lot of calls on
there
January 8th.
I mean,
at the same time, the same description, and fighter pilots following it. So the government's in on it.
Some dog smokes a cigarette on YouTube in 2 minutes. And,
and
they can't get all these ghosts and UFOs up there? Come on.
Although I would like to see that dog smoking a cigarette.
I mean, any
he's
possible...
He's right. No, Fred is absolutely
any
right.
Any possible thing. Ends up on the internet in 2 seconds. We can't get this stuff.
A cop's in an alley beating the crap out of somebody.
It's on
YouTube. 2 seconds
the
later.
Fat kid that looks like Paul eating popcorn out of a 5 gallon bucket at a Colts game.
Is that what that was?
Oh, it's this fat kid sitting there, and he's got a huge bucket in his lap with his arms wrapped around it, and he's face first eating it like a dog. Then he stops, wipes the butter off his face, takes a big swig of regular Coke, looks around all fat and stupid looking, and then dives back in.
You just ruined it because it couldn't be Paul because it had to be Diet Pepsi.
Maybe he was fat. And the best part is I think he's sitting right in front of the press box. He looks like he's like in front of the wall right in front of the press. It's tremendous.
You never know. He could just whack off.
And the person next to him, I don't know if it's someone he's with, but somehow he's taping it the whole time, but the kid looks over, but he clearly can't tell he's being taped. So it's probably his older brother or something making him look stupid online.
Stripper says I have to correct Eric because he's a moron. Eric said about that other email, the rest is in Swedish. The email is from Switzerland, you moron.
Yeah, wow. You moron. They're not all the same, all those countries over there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got me.
Nitwit, whilst you were gone.
Ooh, good use of the word, Andy.
It's also a good use of the word of rusty trombone.
I'm going to find out what that is after.
Don't.
Oh, you know what it is.
Don't bother.
Picture it. No, how do you play a trombone? And why would it be rusty in a dirty sexual way?
Let's see. Louis from Tampa, can someone explain this to me? North Turner, who had a worse coaching record at the start of the season than Rich Kotite, now has won 2 playoff games, and with a quarterback who was one of the is one bad booing session away from punching a fan in the face. Please put Greg's soundbite, Andy, you're full of crap, because he wouldn't have had the guts to pick the Colts in a championship game.
I was picking the Colts. No doubt in my mind.
Even if they struggled against...
Yes, I was picking the Colts because of the weapons.
And one question, if Samuel leaves, can we replace him with the 6-foot, 28-year-old, soon-to-be unemployed Patrick Creighton? Nobody deserves a passing game like this fella. What?
I don't. Why would he replace Samuel?
I don't know.
I think it's a joke we're not getting.
They just gave him a ton of money, so he's not going to be unemployed.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll still be there running his mouth when they lose.
A lot of emails coming in. I can't get to them all, though.
We're going to get Julius Jones? He's going to be unemployed, too.
I do want to remind people that on tomorrow's show, we'll have Mercury Morris.
Oh, we are?
Really? Yeah.
What time are we going to have
him? I didn't know that.
And just...
We can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Second hour.
Second
really?
Hour.
Really? Mercury Morris?
Yeah. And, just so you know, we're not allowed to go after him in any way.
Who said?
Oh, come
you
on.
Told me. I had my
I
whole plan of attack,
that.
And you said, you can't do that.
No, listen, Mercury Morris is a guy you can say anything to, because he'll just have a great answer for
it. No, but you
it.
Do it in an tactful way. You don't ask.
I'm going to do exactly what I told
I like
you
how,
I was going to do
know what
yesterday.
I like?
I don't want you talking about crack or anything like
no,
that.
No, I didn't say
I like
crack.
When, I like when Fred pretends that we're not professionals. Like when something like this, like we're going to bring up, hey, Mercury, I know you smoke crack, but are you on it now?
Well, he might.
That's
no,
true.
No, come on. When have I ever done that?
So he's going to be on in the second hour at some point.
Excellent.
I'm pumped. I can't believe it.
It's going to be fun.
You doing Felger tomorrow?
Felger? I don't know why.
I think they want you to do tomorrow. I'm doing today.
No one said anything to me.
It's because you don't answer the phone.
I hope neither of you are doing Felger at any time.
All right.
Oh, see? You get all upset when it's
but
about
you. But it's
not
funny. Be funny. If you're funny, I laugh. You've been funny once or twice on this show.
Self-esteem issues.
Jeff,
just be funny. I have one rule. Be funny. If you're funny, then I'll laugh.
Well,
you're not funny.
So are we.
Just try to be funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously, if you keep that up, I'm turning your mic off for the rest of the show.
Jeff.
How will we know the difference?
Jeff from Warwick, Rhode Island, just listened to Friday's show on my iPod and heard the whole Craig visit. Nice job hyping that show all week. I thought you might have a former Patriot or something. Waste of a hype. I'm sure by now you guys heard all the trash talk that some Chargers players have been saying, Merriman dissing Gaffney, Igor dissing the Pats in the locker room. I know these two teams have bad blood, but honestly, the Chargers may have the Colts number, but they do not have the Pats. I can't wait to see Norv's ugly face when the Pats drop 42 on him. And actually, Jeff was the one that gave us the rusty trombone word.
Well done, Jeff.
Now, Fred, are you going to allow us to ask questions, or are you going to monopolize the whole thing?
That's usually what he does.
If you want, I'll sit back, because I might end up being a little uncomfortable about the whole thing.
So you're going to be the one that brings up crack?
No. I mean, you know, the guy's
funny.
He's funny, though.
He's the Fred Kirsch of the Dolphins on a more national
stage. You
don't
even need questions ready, because you can just say something, and he'll start, and then you'll just have your questions.
And not only
there.
That, he'll start talking and somehow end up rapping. I think he's funny.
We got an update. It'll be first hour now.
Oh, the first hour.
So tune in.
And what we've learned here is that it's really Dan that's doing everything, because Gary called to ask him and he updated him. Because Gary does nothing.
Dan booked him.
Doesn't even get our food ready.
Dan booked him.
Gary didn't book our food for yesterday.
We'll end with Dave in the Philippines. LT's a great player, no doubt, but we've been pretty solid at stopping the run almost every game. How many yards did we give up last week against on the ground? It's our secondary and linebackers against receivers that's been hurting us. That's why I think Rivers is the key injury. So there's the Dan. Oh, and from his mother's basement is John Rook. John, how you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Nothing much. What do you think?
At this stage of the game, I'll kind of continue with the thought process I started yesterday, that I'd be surprised if the Chargers don't come after Brady a little bit more, seeing as they tried to sit back a little bit back in week two. So I'd be surprised if Ted Cottrell didn't try to shake some things up a little bit and come at it from a little bit different angle.
That's
because,
what
frankly, they're playing with house money.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they want to try to capitalize on that?
Sure, that's what they do. That's why they have all those turnovers.
And that's why I expect it to be a blowout or back, baby, as I see Randy Moss running down the field for a touchdown.
And draws to Maroney and draws to Falk and right up the gut. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think that it certainly, you know, seems to be, you know, right there in the Patriots' end. But, I mean, like any other playoff game that you go into, any other big game you go into, turnovers, field position, those things are all going to determine it. And the Patriots shoot themselves in the foot. They're going to give San Diego a chance to win it. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that these are the two best teams overall in the NFL playing each other for the AFC Championship, with all due respect or not due respect to the, you know, Green Bay and to the Giants. I think whoever comes out on top, if San Diego should beat New England, San Diego should definitely be favored to win the Super Bowl. So, you know, but then again, you know, why wouldn't they be? Because they'd have two more weeks to get healthy. If they were completely healthy, even with a completely healthy Rivers and completely healthy LT, Patriots should still be favorites. Patriots, you know, I don't really see a scenario unless, like I said, Patriots shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And leave the ball on the ground, or Brady throws a couple of uncharacteristic picks, or they give San Diego a very short field in which to work. I just don't see it happening any other way.
All right, well, that's John Rook. He's going to be here for the next 2 hours. We've got a lot of emails we didn't get to. Maybe Gary can forward some over to you, and you can answer them. We will see you tomorrow on PFW in Progress.